much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, it's Beer Mug here at the 11th. Oh, I just saw a wiener dog walk by. Sorry.
I like soccer. It is good.
Soccer? Do you guys need some extra tampons, too?
Oh, that is?
No. It looks kind of like Ryan Seacrest, though.
Gotta catch Ryan Seacrest, man.
Nothing in particular. The guy just bugs the shit out of me.
And now.
Now, a report from NBC's Emmy Award-winning journalist, Doug Kriegel.
What do you think of that pizza?
It's a really awesome pizza.
That's good.
That was a report from NBC's Emmy Award-winning journalist, Doug Kriegel.
Our feature presentation.
That was real, wasn't it?
That was real, yeah. I think that that clip was on Conan's show, I think, one night after Doug won some award. He's the best.
He is the best. I'm glad Doug, he started working Doug for Doug. Us.
Oh, yeah. I think we're the only broadcasting the retired Doug Kriegel does now. I'm so glad we have him on our Heat Watch.
Although we almost killed him yesterday.
Yeah.
That was very sad. Hey, Lisa.
Hey, Bean.
Good. What's going on?
I wasn't even gonna ask. My refrigerator died yesterday.
What?
So my fridge died.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. So I have like a whole bag of meat that I got to throw away.
Got a bag of meat.
I do have a bag of meat.
I got a bag of meat, too. I haven't had to buy a fridge in a while. How tough is it? Don't you?
I did the whole thing online.
Oh,
really?
Yeah. They're going to deliver it today. It was awesome.
Fantastic.
What do you... You had to get rid of everything.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I did go out and get a big 20-pound bag of ice, put it in an ice chest.
Oh, maybe that'll help.
Put some stuff in there.
That'll
so much beef leaking this morning.
That'll at least save the, you know, the mustard and things like that. But, yeah, you're right. All your frozens are gone.
They're so
gone.
Much beef.
Well, that's
so much beef.
So much beef.
So true.
Well, I got a story to start our Kevin and Bean show for a Tuesday with. You guys will like this. Kevin, in particular, you'll appreciate Mr. Justin Kilpatrick.
Okay.
27-year-old man from Portland, Oregon, had a big night out last Thursday night, got super drunk, made the wise decision not to drive home drunk.
All right.
But instead, curled up in a recycling dumpster near the bar to sleep it off.
Inside of it?
Yes.
Oh.
I think you already can tell where this story is headed.
Well, it can't be headed anywhere good.
Waste management crews, of course, came by and emptied the contents of the dumpster, including the man, into a compactor truck at around 1 a.m. on Friday. So he'd left the bar Thursday night. A couple hours later, they come and pick up the dumpster that he's in, dump it into a truck. Truck driver drives on for about a quarter of a mile, compacted his load twice.
No.
Before hearing Kilpatrick's terrified screams from the back of the truck.
Oh, my God.
He survived largely because the truck was relatively empty, according to the New York Daily News. Had there been more recyclables in the compactor, the drunkard's prospects would have been grim. Yeah, I would imagine so, by the way, because there's no place to go, right? He was taken to the hospital, treated for minor injuries. For his part, he does not plan to make this mistake again. And here's my favorite part of the whole article. It's not enough that the guy slept in a trash compactor, right? He says, I have not had a drink in years. That's what he said on his Facebook page.
Sure.
By the way.
What?
I have not had a drink in years.
Sure.
But the one time I do this, this is what happens. I'll never drink again.
Right. Sure.
This is like every politician that's caught with a hooker. Oh, no, it's the first time. I can't believe it. What other chance? I never did that before.
Oh, my God.
Well, come on. Just fess up, right?
This has really, not been a long point, time since you had a drink.
You're 27, by the way. Honestly, we're supposed to believe you haven't had a drink in years, and this is the first time.
I am never going to drink again, ever.
I will tell you, though, I have heard Kevin say that about a million times. Usually on Monday mornings. I'm never going to drink again. No, this time, guys, I mean it.
That's just the pain of a bad hangover.
Right,
and then when
exactly.
the hangover passes, so does the promise.
It's like birth, I think, where women don't really remember the pain. So
right.
they go, yeah,
yes.
I'll have another baby. It's the exact same thing.
How unbelievably lucky is this guy, though?
I am never going to drink again, ever.
If you're in a trash compactor.
Yeah, I would say as lucky as you can get. I mean,
as lucky as you can get.
That's death.
Yeah.
Terrifying, too.
And how many times do you get killed by being squeezed?
Not that often.
Not often.
That's a bad way to go. Yeah, so good times. A happy ending. I'd like to point out, for the record, here's a Bean 5:30 a.m. story with a happy ending.
Thank you.
How about that? Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Kevin Ryder,
frustrate me.
I know. I frustrate me as well. We were going to tell you about modesty glasses. I don't know if you've seen this. But a certain segment of the Jewish population is trying to put together some modesty glasses so guys can't see women that would turn them on. They want to not be able to see women.
They have special glasses that just
blur out
women
everything that's not right in front of you, Lisa. So you can't accidentally see a hot chick walking down the street in your peripheral vision.
Now
it seems to me you also can't see the car that is speeding down the street that you're about to step into.
Or any other number of a thousand things that are...
It seems like there would be problems, yeah. Just looking, I mean, I don't know. We'll find out more. We'll talk to the expert on it. But apparently this is for, you know, those super Orthodox Jews who don't want to encounter women because they feel like it's a violation of their beliefs.
Wow. All right.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, that's imagine? Really, really weird.
I want the opposite. I want glasses that only let me see women. Also on today's show, we are going to talk to Ray Romano, comedian Ray Romano. Mm-hmm.
Love Ray.
I think everyone does.
Let me tell you something shocking, by the way.
No,
it's good. Because it went right past me. Or he didn't care. Either way.
He didn't care.
All right.
Let me tell you something shocking about your little friend Ray Romano, by the way. The third highest grossing film of 2012 internationally is his Ice Age movie.
Yep, they're hugely successful.
Really?
Hugely successful. Yeah, I think it's Avengers and Batman are 1 and 2, and then the Ice Age movie is 3. I mean, it's insane how popular they are.
No idea.
Yeah, it's all kids, you know, and families, and they're huge. We also have former NFL superstar Ronnie Lott on the program today.
Wow, that's big time.
Talking about the Pac-12, which is a new conference this year.
One of the greatest football players of all time, Lisa May.
That's correct. Apparently.
Guy who cut off part of his finger rather than let it heal because he didn't want to miss any games. That's how tough this bastard is.
I heard that story.
During a game.
Yeah. I heard that.
Yeah.
It wasn't really during a game, but.
It was during a game, being it was the Super Bowl.
It was dangling by a thread and he just pulled it off.
Bit
that's
it
what I
with
heard.
With his teeth.
Yeah. I heard he bit it with his teeth. That's what I heard.
Well, he's amazing.
Do these words make you laugh? Professor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, they don't make me go to school.
Not to that school.
No.
Apparently there are fleas in the building in K-Rock.
Yeah, I heard that.
Well, that seems bad.
We're infested.
I think it's people who bring their animals.
I heard a new theory yesterday that you guys are not going to like.
What?
I was talking to Blake in engineering.
Oh, no.
I said, what do you know about the fleas? What's going on with the fleas? He said, I think they're jumping off the rats.
Oh.
What?
Did you say, I think they're jumping off the rats?
Welcome to K-Rock, ladies and gentlemen.
What kind of hellhole are we working in?
Well, at least the feral cats should be able to catch the rats.
They
and that
do.
Would take
they've
care
been,
of the fleas.
Yeah, they've been seen.
Apparently, they haven't been enough, and the rats are bad enough that the fleas are jumping off.
Oh God,
this is ugly. You dated a friend's ex. We're going to talk about today. We'll take your calls on that. And Ralph Garman, the guy who you would think would love The Dark Knight Rises more than anyone,
yeah,
he liked it. It was all right. It wasn't really about Batman though for him.
Well, that is strange, because it seemed like it was all about Batman.
That's what it seemed like to me as well. But he'll give us his reasons coming up here on the world-famous K-Rock. We will take a break and come back with the showbiz beat. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 549.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for our first look at the showbiz beat now on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Ralph.
Happy Wiffle Ball Day, everybody.
Same
already?
To you.
Yeah.
Ah, it always creeps up on me. Damn it, I didn't shop.
A little hungover from Wiffle Ball Eve last night, putting up the Wiffle Ball tree.
Sure.
Today's the anniversary of the Wiffle Ball.
Jimmy Kimmel must be so excited.
Oh, man, the Wiffle Ball. That brings back so many fond memories for me.
Me too.
1953, the Wiffle Ball debuted. You know where the Wiffle Ball came from?
No.
A guy designed the ball that would curve easily for his 12-year-old son so his friends could practice pitching the curveball.
Right.
And it got its name because he used to strike all his friends out, a little 12-year-old kid. They would whiff. And it became the Wiffle Ball.
How about that?
I didn't think I hit a real baseball until I was in college. Because in the streets of Philly, where the homes were close together and windows were easily breakable, they wouldn't let us play real ball in the streets. So we played was wiffle ball. That's all we played.
You couldn't break anything.
We play half ball or wiffle ball. Those were the options. Stick ball. Half ball or wiffle ball.
Sweet.
So I never went to a professional batting cage, I think, until I was in college,
so
literally.
So this has a lot of meaning for
wiffle
you.
Ball was my sport as a kid. That was all
How
I
about
had.
That?
And Kevin, that Nerf football.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kevin, you were you stayed with T-ball until college, right?
How dare you?
You ever play wiffle ball in
of
Arizona?
Course.
You had all that desert to play in, though. You could have played with real balls.
Well, we did.
Didn't you play with real balls when you were a kid?
I played with real balls a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah.
Sad news. Legendary comic book artist Joe Kubert has passed away. What do you think his most famous character was that he drew, Kevin? Do you think it's Sergeant Rock or are you more of a Hawkman man?
Hawkman man?
Yeah.
His name is Hawkman?
No, are you? Yeah, oh. Hawkman was the other character he was well known for.
Neither of those.
Neither?
It was his earlier
his Tarzan?
Work.
You think it's Tarzan?
Sure.
He had an excellent Tarzan. One of the most famous Tarzans ever.
Yeah.
At 85 years old, he passed away. Just a legend in the comic book industry, and he will be missed. And I thought I was never going to see this day. I was shocked and surprised when I read this story this morning that John Cleese of Monty Python fame got married again for the fourth time. This week.
He was so bitter
so
after the
bitter.
Last one.
I saw his most recent comedy tour, which he called the Alimony Tour,
yes.
Because he had to pay his ex-wife $19 million that he said she did not deserve. And he started the comedy show by bringing down a pie chart and a graph and showing how much money she earned for every day of their marriage and how ridiculous it was. And he vowed never to get married again. And then here he was, got married again over the weekend in the Caribbean island of Mystique. John, who is 72 years old,
wow,
married his lovely girlfriend Jennifer Wade, 41 years old.
There you go.
And I guess he figures, look, I'm not going to live much longer. She can have the money.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I was surprised to find that out. Did you see Eric Idle in the closing ceremonies?
I didn't see the closing ceremonies.
Always live on the bright, always look on the right side of life. He did that song.
Was it
classic
funny?
From the Monty Python. Yeah, it was a really fun number. He did a good job.
It has been described, Ralph, tell me if you agree, as the most British thing that has ever happened, to have a stadium full of people singing along with Eric Idle and a bunch of roller skating nuns.
But I thought, I was surprised that athletes from all the other countries knew the words of that song and were singing along as well. It's funny to see like the Russians singing, always look on the bright side of life.
So as they went home to stand in the bread lines?
Monty Python is international, has crossed national bounds. I was happy to see it. Ah, Jeremy Renner's my boy. He's on my side. He's on my team. God bless him.
Your team.
Those who hate porn star Kim Kardashian.
Oh.
He has come out publicly to the Guardian newspaper and...
Jeremy Renner has come out?
He has come out publicly about his hate for the Kardashians.
Obviously.
Said to the Guardian newspaper that the family is comprised of ridiculous people with zero talent who spend their lives making sure everyone knows their name. That's how he encapsulated the Kardashians.
That's pretty true.
It is pretty spot on. And meanwhile, while we're talking about Kim Kardashian, she is desperate to get divorced from Chris Humphries because she has decided she wants to spend the rest of her life with Kanye West, she tells friends.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the beautiful part of it. Kim Humphries is in no rush to divorce her and is enjoying taking his time and the fact that it's making her nuts, which I just... Good for you, Chris. He has apparently, and according to sources, told Kim via channels that the only way to move the divorce forward without a trial is if she comes forward and apologizes to Chris Humphries and his family for the fact that their marriage was a complete and utter fraud. And she has refused to do that, so it looks like they're heading for a nasty trial, which I can't wait for.
I know, I want to hear all the details. I think he has an excellent case to take her to court for fraud.
I do, too.
I think she should be writing the biggest whatever check is necessary to make him go away. She should not be fighting this because I think she would lose that. I really do.
Yeah. And Lady Laura! Back in the news. According to Star Magazine, she has burnt some bridges not only domestically but internationally as well. Two of the best hotels in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Have announced that she has been banned from those hotels.
Wow, man.
They simply don't want her to come there, party, and wreck their place anymore. Apparently, she's had a history in both of these hotels of doing some drunken damage. And they said they just don't need the hassle, and so they're going to pass on her business.
That's so weird.
That
you don't hear that about any other celebrity.
And hotels, I mean.
Yeah, they'll take anybody.
They pretty much will.
Especially the famous.
Exactly. See what Miley Cyrus did to her hair? Have you seen her new hairdo?
No, I have not.
She tweeted a picture this week of her new hairdo. It is a super short, what they call a pixie cut.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dyed white platinum blonde.
Does it distract you from her teeth?
It does. It's very effective. She said she's never felt more like her. Never felt more me in my whole life, she tweeted with that photograph.
Okay.
So,
I don't think you can
say
that.
I can't say that, no. But
it has happened.
It was funny.
Yeah.
This makes me sad.
What?
Kristen Chenoweth?
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorites. Remember when she was on The Good Wife? She was shooting that arc on The Good Wife, and she got hit by a light, came out of the grid and hit her in the head. They thought she was dead on the set because she just went down like a ton of bricks. She had to quit her job on The Good Wife. She just can't perform anymore because the injury is so bad.
No kidding.
Doctors have said to her, you just have to go rest up because she can't walk around. She's having dizzy spells. She's having a hard time.
That isn't good for you.
With this head injury that she got from the light, so she had to quit the show, revealing that she is getting better slowly, and thanked everyone for their support, but she just cannot continue. So that's bad if you're hurt too bad to act.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's not like being an athlete where you have to run up and down a field all day long, but if you can't say lines,
that's crazy.
It's a bad injury. And while we're talking about people who can't say lines, Expendables 2 opens on Friday.
Now, is it my imagination or does that look fun?
Of course it looks fun. The first one was fun.
The first one was fun, too.
It's so campy, cheesy, bad. They just revel in the fact that they're bad.
I can't wait.
Don't get me wrong. It's filled with people who can't act.
No,
but
totally.
That's not why you're going to Expendables. It doesn't open until Friday, but they're already talking about another sequel. Expendables 3. Here is the wish list for the cast. Producer Avi Lerner has announced who he wants in the third one. Wesley Snipes, when he gets out of prison.
Sure.
All right.
Nicolas Cage, Clint Eastwood, and Harrison Ford.
Good luck with that.
They want to add all the legends of action movies and put them into Expendables 3. So,
who's in the who's in this one, Ralph? Did they upgrade the cast?
They did upgrade. They added Chuck Norris.
Wow.
And
Seagal?
JCVD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jean-Claude Van Damme was the big get because he didn't want to do the first one, and after the success of that, he is on board this
time. Looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger has a much bigger role than he did last time.
Yeah, he had a cameo last time,
He was governor last time they shot
right.
it. So he only could come and do a couple days. But Bruce Willis has an enlarged role, and Schwarzenegger, Stallone. No Steven Seagal.
How about Statham? Is he in it?
Yes.
He's
Jet Li.
Wow.
Terry Crews.
Haven't paid much attention to the Expendables. I feel like I'm hearing all this for the first time, but this is amazing.
Yeah. But you're not going to go, so why are we talking about it?
That's I'm not going to go, but I appreciate that it exists.
Good for you.
Who else am I missing? I'm missing somebody good. Statham, Terry Crews. Oh, Randy Couture.
Yeah.
Sure.
Nice.
I can't think, but it's a good lineup. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actor-comedian Steve Martin celebrates his 67th birthday today. By the way, if you're a Steve Martin fan like I am, you'll be happy to know in a couple weeks he is releasing a box set of all of his early TV work.
Is that good?
His early appearances on Carson and his TV specials, which haven't been seen since they aired originally. Some great, great stuff that hasn't been seen in a long time, available on DVD in a couple weeks. Marcia Gay Harden is 53. Halle Berry turns 46. Catherine Bell is 44 years old. Mila Kunis.
Wow.
Yes.
Is 29 years old today. Spencer Pratt. Remember Spencer Pratt?
No, I don't.
Has any couple fallen off the radar more than Spencer and Heidi? Gives you hope. Gives you hope for America that they were able to just reject them outright. He is 29 years old today. And our very own DJ Omar Khan. DJ Omar Khan.
DJ Omar Khan
is 34 years old today. Come back to work, Omar. Seriously.
You
left
us
with
a
beer mug, for F's sake. That's like a hate crime. Come back to work. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Let me tell you something about Disneyland. It's not a sad place.
That is true.
I think that's been proven. That's science.
It's a happy place. I can't think of any place even happier than Disneyland. Can you?
Nope, not a thing.
I think it's the happiest place on earth. And we have a pair of Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes to give away on today's Kevin and Bean Show. You get passes for both Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure Parks. Keep listening for your chance to call in and win this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
This is a bizarre story. I don't know how much you know about ultra-Orthodox Jews, but
I know I can't shake their hand.
It, Yeah, it's right? really, really strict when it comes to women. Mm-hmm. You guys remember Modest Yahoo when he used to sing and he had a video where he stage dived? And we said, how did you do that? Because you're not allowed to even look at women, really, let alone touch them. And apparently they had to separate them into men in half and women in half, and he would stage dive in the men half.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. What's the deal? I know next to nothing about Orthodox Judaism, but what's the deal with that? Is it temptation? Is that what it is?
I think they don't want to be tempted. No. I mean, they in their world, women would wear, you know, turtlenecks and long skirts and cover their arms.
And the only woman you would ever look at or touch would be your wife.
Correct. Even touch. So if somebody came up to you and said, hi, it's nice to meet you, and put your hand out.
Can't shake their hand.
No can do. Mm-mm.
So if you're a real Orthodox Jew, you wouldn't even go into a McDonald's and buy from a woman behind the counter. You wouldn't even get food from her then.
No, I think you could do that.
I don't know.
Really?
Wow.
I don't know.
You might be right. Wow.
But the latest thing is for some ultra-Orthodox Jewish men is that they put on new glasses that are supposed to blur out anything that's a little further than a few feet in front of you. So if there's a woman walking across the street and she's wearing short shorts and a little, you know, bikini top, they won't see it. They want to make sure that they don't see that. So they're selling these glasses. They're called modesty glasses.
So essentially they are just going to stop seeing the world around them.
Yes. the world that's too far away.
Uh-huh.
You can't see like you're walking
through
a mall.
They're going to live within a 2-foot radius.
Yeah. They can see things close so that they don't kill themselves. But
wow.
nothing further.
That way you only see what you choose to see. There's never any surprise to look over and see a woman's bare elbows or something like that.
Because that could be disastrous.
I don't want to live in a world if I can't see women, by the way.
Elbows especially.
We asked producer Dave if he could please line up somebody for us to talk to on this story, and he didn't tell us who we have, but apparently we do have someone on the phone, so maybe we can get some more information about this. Hello.
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 Hi, sir.
Shalom to you. How are you today?
Shalom to you as well. What's your name, sir?
My name is Moshe Horovitz.
Moshe Horovitz.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Now,
thank you for having me.
I should warn you, Mr. Horovitz, that we have a woman in the studio with us. Is that a problem?
No.
She's very nice. And you
she's
can't
unclean.
See her.
I don't she's want what? That woman near me.
That's she's, what it is. We're unclean.
How do you know she's unclean?
I mean, she is unclean, but how do you know that from all the way over there?
You can't tell.
A man should not be with a woman who's not his wife anywhere in the vicinity.
That seems like that's ultra strict. That's tough.
Hence the word ultra-Orthodox.
I know. It's just doesn't. You can't even look at him. I mean, that seems crazy.
No, don't look. Don't touch. Don't smell, don't see, don't feel, don't hear, don't touch. Did I say touch?
Yes,
you did.
Especially don't touch.
Right.
That's an important one. So I repeated it.
Now, are you married, sir?
Of course I'm married, yes.
And it's
married
okay.
To a lovely woman. For 47 years I've been married.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm only 37.
You can get...
That's a little Orthodox humor for you.
I like it.
Thank you.
So you can get as freaky as you want with the missus, though. You just can't even look at another woman who's not your wife.
Don't you talk to me about freaky.
Why?
I don't want to hear that sort of smut talk.
Oh, I see. That's too much.
Hear what I do in the privacy of my own bedroom is between my wife. And my God!
Okay. Do you have the modesty glasses that we're talking about?
Of course I have the modesty glasses. Okay. I am one of the representatives of the company that makes the modesty glasses!
I see, okay.
So how do they work? Do they take away your peripheral vision as you walk down the street, is that right?
We take a special sticker and we put it on the lens, and that keeps your vision clear for a few meters around you, but anything in the peripheral or anything beyond that is blurry. You can't see it!
So the whole world is blurry except for what's right in front of you.
That's right. I'm wearing them now, and they're very effective because they... Oh, damn.
What was that?
I just knocked over a fruit...
Look! You can't say that, Peter. Mr. Horowitz, please watch your language. I never thought we'd have to warn you.
I got caught by surprise, but that one slipped out.
Okay, please,
these
be careful.
Glasses are the best glasses. Oh, crap.
What was that?
Oh, crap luck. Oh, I just fell over a cage full of cats.
A cage full of cats?
Yes. Why someone has a cage full of cats here in the street, I have no idea. I should not be talking probably and walking because the glasses are...
Be careful.
Send me a bill for that, won't you, please? No. Thank you.
Oh, that's sad.
Yes, I knocked over a whole stall full of vases.
So, on the street, there's a stall full of vases?
There's a vase vendor here.
Wow.
And he's selling vases.
Maybe you should refigure the glasses to give you a little more vision.
No, because, God forbid, a woman, a slutty woman, is walking down the street showing her elbow or her ankle.
Right.
Or she's not wearing a wig.
Right.
And then the next thing you know, I'm pitching a tent.
No. What was...
Oh, I just kicked over a fire hydrant. We should secure those more carefully.
Those are really, really secure.
Imagine my surprise!
Got the Killers coming up this hour. Also, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Ralph's got the showbiz beat in a few minutes. And speaking of Ralph. Why do you hate?
I don't hate.
Why do you hate?
I don't hate.
Why do you hate?
I don't hate.
All right, let me try it a different way. Why do you hate?
I don't hate.
All right.
I just got some... problems.
You're not
I
a big Batman fan. That's the bottom
See,
line.
This is the problem. The problem may be
you're not a Batman fan.
I may
right?
be the biggest Batman fan in the world, and maybe that's why I have some serious problems with The Dark Knight Rises. And by the way, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the film and you want to see it and you don't want to know what happens in the movie, I can't believe I'm saying this, but turn your radio off.
Although it has been a month.
You should have seen it. If you wanted to see it by now, you should have seen it. But if you haven't, and you don't want to know anything that happens in Dark Knight Rises, turn on a CD or something for the next 4 minutes and just go away, because we're going to be talking about it in detail.
But hasn't the consensus been that the movie is either good or great? I mean, that's all anybody has said about
it,
right?
I've not heard great. I've heard good. Certainly it's not The Dark Knight. That was the pinnacle of this trilogy. This movie, to me, is a big F you.
Really?
Because the whole plot of the film is built around some M. Night Shyamalan-type twists at the end, and the whole thing is a convoluted mess. Now, Christopher Nolan puts together a very pretty picture, and he has people very earnestly saying a lot of very pompous things, and it seems like a very important film. But if you cut all that away, you look at the plot, it's just a horrible plot. And the character of Batman is just pooped on left and right. This is a crappy Batman. If you look at the whole trilogy, this is a crappy Batman. This is not a good Batman. Bruce Wayne is not a good crime fighter.
Wow.
In three.
In all of them. If you look back at them, when we start this film, Batman has been retired for 8 years.
Correct.
8 years.
Because he went away.
Hasn't fought any crime.
Right.
No crime. No crime fighting. Yes. Worst crime fighter ever. If you don't fight crime for 8 years, you're not a crime fighter.
But his heart was broken.
He had to disappear. No, it wasn't that.
I'll get to that.
He had to disappear.
Why did he have to disappear?
Because Two-Face, they needed to save his reputation as being a crime fighter.
So he took the blame on himself.
Correct.
But he could still fight crime. He fights in the shadows. He swings from the buildings, and he fights in the shadows, and he can still fight crime.
Not for 8 years.
He's just not into it anymore. He's just not into it. He's really not. And when you think about it, he's not a good crime fighter, because as far as we can tell from the Christopher Nolan trilogy, he's only really fought crime 3 times. Ra's al Ghul, when he tried to blow up Gotham City. That was the first time he fought crime.
Right.
Then he stopped. The Joker showed up. He was trying to blow up Gotham City, so he showed up for that time. And then in this one, Bane comes around, tries to blow up the city, he shows up again. So in about 12 years, he's fought crime 3 times.
That you've seen.
He only really cares if you're going to blow up the city. That's the only time he really gets involved. Other than that, it's like, well, you're on your own.
And they say the Harvey
Dent Law has driven organized crime from Gotham City. There's still plenty of crime. We still have lots of street crime, but the organized crime is gone. So Batman's like, if someone gets mugged, so be it. That's not my concern. Call me if someone's going to blow up Gotham City. That's when I put the suit on. 8 years. He's limping around like Dr. House, shooting arrows in his bedroom because he just doesn't feel like fighting crime. Unless it comes to him. A girl breaks into his house and steals his pearl necklace. Then he's fascinated. He's back to the Batcave. He's looking it up in the computer. Who is this girl? What's going on? So someone has to steal from you, Batman, before you really give a rat's ass about crime in Gotham City. That's when you get engaged, and when someone steals from you personally.
See, I didn't get any of this.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to strap on my special knee brace that lets me kick brick walls and knock it down. Well, hey, asshole, why don't you strap that on about, I don't know, 8 years ago and keep fighting crime and protecting the people of Gotham City? If that existed, why aren't you wearing it? Why are you limping around with the asshole cane growing your bad goatee?
Why is the cane an asshole?
Because he's an asshole. Bruce Wayne's a dick in these three films. Just a dick.
I think you do love Batman too much.
Think about it. He's supposed to be a crime fighter for 8 years. He's sat in his house.
Everything you're saying makes sense, but I enjoyed it.
Because it's all bells and whistles, right, man. They fool you. That's they distract you from the truth of the story, which is a horrible story about a really crappy crime fighter. And the whole thing is built on this surprise ending where we find out that the girl he loves, sort of, who's taking the place in his heart of his dead girlfriend, is the daughter of Ra's al Ghul, his worst enemy from the first film.
Right.
Now, first thing, he says, well, I can't fight crime anymore, Alfred, because my girlfriend died. And that really broke me up, so I took 8 years off. Hey, douchebag, you saw your parents gunned down in front of you when you were a kid. That motivated you to fight crime. Your girlfriend gets killed by the Joker, and you're like, oh, you know what? No, that's it. I'm out. No, forget about it. My parents? Yeah. Okay, sure, I'll fight crime for them. But the girlfriend? No, I don't really care that much. So I'm just going to lay down. Worst Batman ever! So Ra's al Ghul's daughter shows up, and she is going to get revenge because he caused the death of her father.
Right.
Worst revenge plan in history. She's got all of her father's wealth. She is one of the richest women in the world.
Right.
Does she buy an atomic bomb and put it in the middle of Gotham City and blow up Gotham City? No. She takes 8 years and invests money in an alternate energy project to have Bruce Wayne build a fusion reactor that 8 years later she will be able to take over and then turn into the slowest blowing up nuclear bomb ever. So for 8 years, she has dumped her own money into her revenge campaign that she could have solved by going to Pakistan and picking up a low-rent atomic bomb and putting it in Gotham City 8 years ago. Could have cut out a lot of time and money, Talia. You're the worst revenge seeker ever. I know revenge is a dish best served cold. Your revenge has been left out of the fridge. It's got mold growing on it. You waited too long. No one even remembers what you're angry about anymore.
Did you feel this way about the first two and just didn't say anything?
No, the first two were great.
They were great, okay.
And I figured in three, he's going to have a long crime-fighting career. We're going to see more of him. No, he's just sitting his ass around waiting for another bomb to go off. From a woman who waited 8 years and invested millions and millions of dollars to build a bomb that she's not going to explode for 5 months.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm not going to push a button. I'm going to let it degrade slowly for 5 months, and then I'm going to get my revenge. So it's been 8 years and 5 months now she's waited. Well, we have to break the Batman. We have to break and make him. We're going to watch us torture his city. We're going to do a lot of things in the city for 5 months that really don't mean anything because we're going to blow it off the map anyway. Oh, so 5 months, is that the optimum breaking time for someone? Make them watch TV for 5 months, and that's when you really know you've got them? Why not 6 months? Why not 4 months? Well, we know that the core will degrade in 5 months, and that's when things will really get bad.
All right, that
no, was
dumb.
Asshole, you know what you're doing? You're giving a guy 5 months to get over his broken back and come back and stop you. And it turns out Batman's back's not really broken. He just needed a really good chiropractor. They just needed to string him up and just put that disc back in. And you know what? Look at me. I'm climbing out of the biggest well in the history of mankind. I'm jumping over and I'm grabbing stones. And I'm only the second person to ever get out of this hole. You know why? I had a great chiropractor. He gave me a rope to hold on to, and he pushed that back in. And, oh, I feel so much better. Kevin Ryder, who turned over his car, didn't hurt his back nearly as bad as Bruce Wayne. He can barely sit on a yoga mat and do radio.
How dare you?
So Batman finally shows up because, again, they're going to bomb his city. They're going to blow his city off the map.
In 5 months. Right.
So he gets engaged again. He finally puts on the suit and he goes back and he fights Bane and he beats him. Congratulations, you're back, Batman. Nope. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let everyone who ever loved me think I died. I'm going to take the nuclear bomb and I'm going to fly it over the bay in Gotham, and I'm going to make everything I blew up in it because I won't tell them I fixed the autopilot. You know how I'm going to repay Alfred, the man who raised me since I was an orphan? I'm going to let him think I got blown up in a nuclear accident.
But he knew at the end.
He didn't know at the end until he went to his favorite cafe. Oh, Alfred mentioned this cafe once that he goes to sometimes. So I'm going to sit there for a year until Alfred goes on vacation again, and then he'll see me at the table with my girlfriend. Here's what I did. I said, F you, Gotham City. I'm going to run off with my girlfriend and drink cappuccinos while your city is riddled with crime and horrible people. I've decided I'm going to retire.
He's done his part, Ralph.
Three times! He did his part. There's a lot more stuff to be done in Gotham City, but he's going to quit. Oh, no, he's not quitting. He's leaving Robin in charge. Oh, hold on. John Blake, his given name is Robin. You're going to slide that in the last 20 minutes of the film? F you, Christopher Nolan. Oh, was there a Robin in this story once? All right, we don't have a Robin. Just call that guy Robin. Let's make him Robin. We'll call that one Robin. Well, he's going to take over. He's going to be the new Batman. Yeah, here's the thing. Bruce Wayne went to Nepal and trained with, like, the world's deadliest Sherpas to learn how to get his ass kicked in Gotham City.
Right.
No Batman's ever had his ass kicked more than Christian Bale's Batman. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the city over to a cop who has no training whatsoever. He was a rookie cop. He can carry a gun and a badge that he won't use anymore. I'll let him handle Gotham City. Because remember how well-trained I was and how I failed three times? Well, this guy, this cop with no martial arts training, who doesn't really know how to work any of my gadgets or anything, I'm just going to give him the keys to the waterfall and let him live in the Batcave, and we'll see how he does. He'll most likely get killed his first time out, but I don't care because I'm drinking cappuccinos with my girlfriend.
So you liked it?
F you, Christopher Nolan. You pooped on Batman.
That's a little strong. I don't know that he pooped.
Now that I've told you about the film, go back and watch it again. You'll say,
can't.
Worst plot ever.
Can't do it.
Everybody in this movie sucks at what they do. Except for Jim Gordon, who's looking around saying, Christ, is Superman? Someone get me Superman's phone number, please.
NFL Hall of Famer Ronnie Lott on the program later on today, and the great Ray Romano will join us as well. I don't know about you guys, but there are too goddamn many announcements on a plane these days.
Sure.
We all travel a lot, and I know that, you know, we get tired of hearing the safety announcements that the flight attendant has to make. That's, you know, FAA regulations. They have to do it. But then it seems like they're always getting on the mic, and they're always talking about something. They're always, you know, pushing a credit card or giving you details about programs you don't care about or going into excruciating detail about what they're serving and all over the plane. And you just, at some point, you just want them to be quiet. Am I right about that?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's why this story has really, really attracted a lot of interest. It's at Gawker.com. There's a guy who started rolling tape on a flight attendant on an American Airlines flight from Chicago to Madison. And I don't know what she's trying to do here. But she's having some sort of a spiritual heart-to-heart with her pastors. I think she's one of these people who just believes that every day is a blessed day, and she wants to share that with the people on the plane who, I don't have to remind you, are they can't go anywhere, right?
Right.
And she just grabs the mic, and he started recording at this point, and let's see what you think about her.
So, with that being said, welcome. Welcome. You're welcome. Let me ask you a question. I have a question. I'm going to take a little short quiz here. How many people are doing really well today?
Okay, now at this point,
I'm already yelling, shut up.
You're sitting there and she's on the mic taking a survey. How many people are feeling good today? How's it going for everybody? What's happening? This is a flight attendant on a plane, right?
That is so odd.
What can she possibly be trying to accomplish here?
She wants to know about your day, Bean.
Can we have some thumbs up for all those that are doing well? Yay! Happy Saturday.
No.
Happy Saturday to you.
By the way, you can hear a little kid starting to cry in the background. I'm sure it's very, very distressing for
the
youngsters.
Make the woman shut up.
And this isn't even like when you fly Southwest and they get on and do their wacky comedy, which, you know, is hit or miss. It's better on some flights than others, but at least they're trying to entertain. I don't know what this woman's trying to do. I don't know. Is she doing this for her or is she doing this for us?
It sounds to me like she's trying to cheer everyone up so that they'll be much happier when they land.
Do you ever need a flight attendant singing Happy, Happy, Happy Saturday, though?
I don't need a flight attendant to cheer me up.
We're not at a Yo Gabba Gabba concert. Put the mic down and bring me another beer.
Happy, happy, happy Saturday. Happy Saturday to you. We all have gifts on the inside of us. We do. Happy, happy Saturday. Want everyone to know that you're special.
Okay.
Oh,
now,
no.
Into Mr. Rogers' territory here,
we
right?
We did not pay for a seminar.
We want everybody to know you're special.
I need everyone's attention now, because this is so strong in my spirit. I want everyone on this aircraft to know that you're special.
Strong in her spirit, you guys.
Yeah.
And every one of us have gifts on the inside of us. Some of you could be like me. Maybe you had a gift and people told you that you take things too serious and you didn't know it was a gift, because I surely did.
By the way, where's the air marshal on this flight that
no
can
kidding.
Get this bitch down? At some point, don't the passengers get up and run toward the cabin and knock her to the ground?
Because they think they're being hijacked by her gift?
I mean, seriously, somebody has to stand up and do something at this point,
Why
right?
is she talking to us like we're six? This is Mr. Rogers' territory.
That's an outstanding question, Kevin.
And it prevented that flower that was in me from going forth. How many people know the flower is growing now? Oot, oot. I'm not really sure where this jolt energy comes from, but I really am. But, so I just wanted to encourage everyone.
Oh, she's wrapping up.
And everyone really know deep down in your soul that you really are special. Receive that today. I'm going to say, whoosh, receive it.
She's getting very
from my heart to yours.
Preachy. Into preachy, yeah.
Yeah. I just attended a revival against my will.
Everybody was clapping because she was done, right?
Yeah.
She was done.
Oh, it's
exactly.
Embarrassing. You're like, you want to be polite.
But shut the
you
up.
Just want to put on your headphones. Seriously,
yes.
Now you're going to save my soul?
American Airlines flight from Chicago to Madison. Don't ever book that leg of the flight.
How about some make-believe about hoes?
Okay. I just want you to know, Ralph, that you're special before you do this report.
That's
okay?
Right.
I feel it.
Right.
I feel it deep down inside me.
I
that
hope
I'm
so.
Special. Hey, you know what? Here's the truth. Not everybody's special.
Nope.
Most of us aren't special, actually.
I would have raised
fact,
my hand and
almost
said,
no one
the
is
guy
special.
Next to me, not special.
Just regular people. Just squirrels looking for a nut. That's all of us. So stop it. The more you tell people they're special, the more you start to believe it. And then they drive poorly. That's what I found.
Lisa May pointed out off air that is the longest, really short flight that anyone has ever taken.
Oh my God!
I would have had to get my box cutter and just charge the front of the plane.
You would have had to do something, right?
Can't just sit there and take that. Time for the Showbiz Beat now here on a Tuesday, Kevin Bean Show with Ralph Graham.
I don't know what it is about that Randy Travis, but he sure is a trendsetter.
Uh oh!
Now Jason Mayhem Miller was found drunk and naked.
Oh no! I love that guy.
Mixed martial arts fighter and reality show host Mayhem Miller was strange. He was naked and drunk inside a Southern California church in Mission Viejo.
Naked in a church.
During services?
No. He broke in. He broke into the church. The pastor at the Mission Hills Church called authorities when he found evidence of a break-in Monday morning, including books and CDs strewn about, white powder on the floors, and missing boards from a previously broken window.
It ain't natural!
Deputies arrived, and that's when they found Jason Mayhem Miller naked on a couch. They asked him his name. He responded, Mayhem. And that's why I get my insurance with Allstate, because I don't want that guy hanging on my car anymore.
Yes.
Yeah. They found evidence that Jason Miller had set off fire extinguishers inside the church. That's what the white powder was all over the floors.
That's better than what I thought originally.
He was coherent and cooperated with authorities, they say, when he was arrested.
What would... I know. You
he must
be
have
drunk.
Slept it off by the time they got there.
That's what they're assuming. He busted in drunk.
Yeah.
For some reason, got naked, fired off some fire extinguishers, then fell asleep on the couch. And when they woke up.
Wow, was he drunk?
He was mayhem.
Yeah. Wow.
It's so funny because when I was in college, I was a commuter student. My buddies lived in the dorm, and I was drunk off my ass on their dorm floor, and I grabbed one of those fire extinguishers, and I said, "It's a winter wonderland!" And I just put this white, snowy powder all over the place, and that's all I could think of.
But you know what you did?
Things.
You didn't break into a church where no one was.
And I didn't get naked.
That's
and I wasn't
crazy.
Found by deputies the next morning. Yeah. So there you go.
Well, his name is Ma'am.
There's your update. So. It's not really mayhem as much. They should change his name to Vandalism. Jason Vandalism Miller. Not quite as scary, I guess. Katy Perry was at Raging Waters in San Dimas this week.
All right.
She was doing this boogie board ride where you go down there in waves and you ride down the slide or whatever. You know, usual Kate, water park BS.
Big ones, right?
Yeah, she's got big ones right on the front of the board if you're looking at the pictures. It turns out the rushing water pulled her bikini bottom down.
Yay!
The story so just keeps getting better.
See the photos as she's climbing out of the pool. Her ass is just hanging out there for the world to see. And then what really infuriates me is the guy who's working there, Raging Waters, has the gall to try to help her. He picks up her boogie board and covers up her butt so no one can see it.
What?
Which, by the way, sir, is unacceptable behavior.
Is he Al-Qaeda? Does it say in the article?
He does not. Well, he is wearing a turban, but I don't know if that means anything.
He should have gotten on the mic and said, just look at that butt. Yeah. That is a tight butt.
That's what he should have said. Yeah, so...
yeah, that's her whole butt.
That's her whole butt right there.
Sure is.
It's a nice, milky, white, just big, juicy butt just hanging out there.
That is a butt.
So the photos are online if you want to check them out. But
she's fat.
She's not.
Close
honey
to fat.
Honey Boo Boo Child, come on.
I hate Honey Boo Boo Child.
We all do.
Yeah.
It's her whole butt.
It sure is.
What that is.
I like it. It's good.
There should be a 21 and over day at the water park.
It's the first time ever at a water park. The fathers were glad they had their kids dragged them to Raging Waters. Oh, we have to go there again.
No, honey, I'll go tomorrow.
Yeah, let's go back. One day it pays off to take your kids to a water park. You can call them Juggalos. You can call them fans of the Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah.
Insane Clown Posse. But you cannot refer to them as gang members.
No.
The band is suing the FBI for doing just that. The feds put the Juggalos on the National Gang Threat Assessment List last year. And at Insane Clown Posse's annual gathering of the Juggalos Festival over the weekend at Cave in Rock, Illinois, the band announced it had set up a website for any of its fans that were hassled by the man just for being ICP fans. So if you go to juggalosfightback.com, you can post your complaints about how the man is keeping you down because you're a Juggalo.
Is there, I assume, Ralph, there's a higher incidence of crime committed by Juggalos? Is that why what they're basing this on?
I think they're judging it by the crime that commits at these events.
Right.
That escalate when they gather together en masse, and I believe that's how the FBI is classifying it, when they gather together as a gang, in quotes, crime spikes. So they put them on the assessment list, because it'd be like a gathering of bikers, like Hell's Angels, you know, or Crips or Bloods, whatever. And there's a gathering of a certain group that identifies itself as a group, I think the FBI automatically puts it on the list because there's a spike in crime.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah. Although, I would have to say to the FBI, they did throw bottles at Tila Tequila, so I think they get a pass.
That's true.
You should give them some sort of national award or something.
That's true.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. DJ Omar Khan. Oh, God, how I miss Omar.
I do, too. Remember, he was so young when he died, too.
He didn't die. He just took some vacation time. But since when did we start giving our employees a vacation, by the way?
I agree.
DJ Omar Khan.
That's a horrible new trend.
You know what? The Pharaoh didn't say, hey, you guys building the pyramids? Why don't you take a couple weeks? Why don't you put down those giant blocks of stone and just kick back? No.
Go lay out by a pool
someplace. They got a bigger whip. That's what happened. And that's how they got the pyramids built.
Omar North Tower.
A little more whip here at the station. A little less vacation, I think, is what we need. Spencer Pratt's 29 years old today. Actress Mila Kunis also celebrates her 29th birthday. Catherine Bell is 44. Halle Berry is 46.
Wow.
Marcia Gay Harden is 53. And Steve Martin celebrates his 67th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Foo Fighters, Neon Trees, Smashing Pumpkins, all coming up this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Plus, we'll hook you up once again with passes for the Disneyland Resort Deluxe Annual Passes, I should say, which is both Disneyland and Disney's California Adventure Parks. That's coming up in the next, half hour or so right here on KREC. First, though, how about the Kevin and Bean Afro Line? On the air for you at 323-520-AFRO. It's our voicemail that we got running 24-7. You can call anytime you think about something you want to share with us here at the Kevin and Bean Show.
Although you don't have to share everything.
Isn't butt rash the worst?
It's not good.
Isn't butt rash the worst?
I know that.
Yes. Yes, it is. Some response to one of our best games.
Clucking the hit. Seriously? Cluck you.
Oh, I hope Clucky's not listening. He's going to be so sad.
That's true.
Hey, I just heard your piece on the girl who got sick from a cat scratch. Old-time rocker Ted Nugent. Turns out he got sick from a cat, too. And he called it cat scratch fever.
I I'd say put them in the file.
So
really?
File that.
Yeah. Really?
But isn't it so unbelievably obvious?
Yes.
We're talking about cat scratches. None of us ever even mentioned cat scratch fever.
Even us, and we're the worst at that.
Right.
But I say put him in the file, make him take it back. We have his phone number.
Good. Oh, okay. Let's do that.
All right. Here's somebody. You know, why do we get up early? Why do we come in? Why do we do this show? The love. It's really the love.
Kevin, you suck. Dean, you suck. Mr. May, you suck. Beermud, you suck. Rob, you suck. Dumb midget that's not even funny, you suck. Psycho Mike, you suck. Lucretia, you suck. If I miss anybody that's usually on this dumb show, you guys suck.
Well, I do.
Oh.
As it turns out. Yeah. That's the only one that we know for sure.
You just turned this whole conversation around, Lisa. I was feeling pretty bad about it until that. Thank
you. Didn't know you were going to say that, but had I, this next guy called in response.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
There you go.
With all of the new beer mug tape that we have, all of the bad questions that he asks people, this guy wants us not to forget where we all started.
Never forget. That's not brown rice.
No.
Wow, that does seem like about 800 years ago, doesn't it?
It's a good point.
Wasn't that the beginning of Shut Up, Beer Mug?
Yes. Yeah, because it was supposed to be double entendre. It was supposed to be like a sex joke, but it didn't make any sense. That's not brown rice. That's not mayonnaise. You know, that's the joke. Not that's not brown rice, but that is when we decided the beer mug needed to shut up. And has he?
Not even a little
bit.
No,
he has not.
I just touched my butthole.
Oh, come on.
Wow,
again. We don't need to know all.
Oversharing.
In the marathon, one last piece of business from the Olympics. Kenya, heavily favored as usual.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that Kenyans had, there's ever a marathon that Kenyans didn't win.
Correct.
Honestly, because it seems like all of the marathons in our country, at least, New York, L.A., Philadelphia, all the big marathons, Boston, the Kenyan always wins. And I just assumed that was the case everywhere.
Yeah, the Kenyans were winning until a guy from Uganda came and won the second gold medal that Uganda has ever won. And he won it in the marathon.
Uganda! Uganda! Suck it, Kenya!
Kenyan backlash.
I didn't know that anyone was that invested, but but all right, here's a guy who actually likes Bean.
This is how I know that Bean's my man. I was actually just thinking, I wonder what the oldest person ever to win a gold medal is. Lo and behold, here comes Bean with that info. Thanks for that info, Bean.
Thank you, sir. I believe 70 was the answer. I believe he was 70 when he won.
I think he's being sarcastic as well.
Oh, sorry.
Chad Ochocinco got fired. Is that correct, from the Dolphins?
Yeah, he was let go. He was with the Dolphins this year, hoping to make the team in preseason, and I think he lasted about 2 weeks.
Does anyone want to buy a Dolphins Chad Johnson jersey? Yeah.
That's a good use of $85 right there, I bet you're thinking right now.
323-520-AFRO24.
I have no study information in front of me, but I know that I have read that people who can bring their pets to work are among the happiest employees in the world.
Yeah, there was an article out just a couple of weeks ago about that.
Hmm. Yeah, I have an email here I'd like to read.
Oh, okay, sure.
In contrast to your people who bring pets to work are happy.
Yeah.
All right.
If you don't mind us taking care of some personal business here. We have determined that there are fleas in the building. Enough fleas to write an email to everybody in the entire place.
Oh, man.
We have physical witnesses and the insects. Engineering has been bitten. So far, they are only reported in Master Control and the K-Rock studio.
Oh, in our studio?
Mm-hmm. We are actively spraying to eradicate the fleas. This is a good time to remind you to please adhere to our policy of no pets. Not during weekends, overnights, off hours. Anytime. Fleas are one example why, but another is that you don't know if your counterparts could have allergies.
Fleas do get worse in the hot summer months, too. That's for sure.
I mean, Lisa brings her dog.
Well, my dog doesn't have fleas, for God's sake.
Yeah, nobody thinks their dog is the worst.
Right.
Oh,
not mine.
Nobody does.
Must be somebody else's. My kid doesn't have lice. Must have got it from some other grimy kid at school. Same thing. Look, your dog is a flea, first of all. How big is Boner now? He can't like be much bigger than a flea.
4 pounds. Yeah, like fleas could carry him off.
That's true. But, I mean, let's face it. You've been bringing your dog to work, I don't know, a couple times a month now for a few months now. And all of a sudden
not,
we have,
because it's against the rules.
Right.
Right, because why would you do that?
Right.
But all of a sudden we have fleas. You don't think it's possible there's some relation between thing A and thing B?
Well, I mean, he gets the medication, the flea medication, so that's supposed to take care of it, right?
But here's what we know. You bring dog, studio has fleas.
You're saying A plus B equals C?
Well, I'm just saying.
I just disagree.
All the years that you didn't bring dog didn't have fleas.
Am I the only one who brings a dog?
Not always. Kat sometimes brings her dog, but not she wouldn't. I mean, not for real, because it's against the rules.
Right, of course. Right. She wouldn't
Well,
do that.
We wanted to find out maybe some deep insight into this story. So we asked producer Dave who he could light up for us. And I believe, if I'm reading this correctly, I believe we have the K-Rock fleas. Hello? Hi, K-Rock fleas. How are you? See, he's doing Spanish Flea, the great Herb Alpert song. There. We get that, Flea. That's very clever. That's very clever. Hello there. Is this one of the K-Rock Fleas?
Yeah, this is one of the K-Rock Fleas.
Are you
who did you think it was?
Are you the leader, Flea? Are you the crime boss?
No, Anthony's the leader.
Oh, okay.
See, he's doing a Chili Peppers joke. Do I have to translate all the jokes for you? Come on.
Yes, I think you do.
So, Flea, what's the deal? Did you ride in here on Boner or not? We're having a little bit of a discussion about how you got into the building.
No, I would not get on that little rat of a dog.
Okay. Oh, thank God. It's not Boner.
It is sort of a little rat of a dog. That's
it
true.
Is, yeah. So I would rather be on something more disgusting.
More disgusting?
Yeah, because fleas really, we do our best work in a really filthy, filthy environment.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you are attracted to trash and things like that, sure.
Yes, that's why we are coming from Beer Mug's beard.
No.
I knew it!
Yeah.
It's infested?
I knew it! We've been telling him to shave and he's been letting it go.
Gross.
For months.
Oh, it's really, you know, we used to live on the rats. Here at the building.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we heard that.
But we saw an opportunity to really step it up. And so we decided to live in that horrible, hideous, disgusting beard.
Wow. Yeah.
How dare you?
God.
Yeah, well, he grew that beard because he was shooting a video for us. He was going to go out and pretend to be a homeless guy on the street.
Pretend to be a homeless guy.
Yeah, right. And it just got out of control. It just got away from him. And now it's practically down to his knees. I don't know what's going on with him now, but he does look worse than most homeless people now.
Speaking of his knees, that's not the only hairy region we come from.
No!
Stop. Oh, yeah. Dear God.
Yeah, so some other DJs there at the station may really want to get themselves checked out.
Oh, no!
That is awfully bad news for Sluggo. Listen, it says in this email, we are actively spraying to eradicate the fleas. Uh-huh. How are you still alive to even talk to us after they've already sprayed the studio down?
Have they sprayed his beard down?
No, I don't think. Probably not.
Have they sprayed your beard?
No, my beard's fine.
Yeah. Buddy. There's your answer. That's why. Because they didn't spray his beard.
Oh, that's
why. Why are you
it
itching right now?
Because I'm biting his face right now. I'm calling you from the beard.
He's clearly in there, Muggs.
Yes. Ah, you missed me. You missed me.
He'll have fleas.
Warmer. Cold. Your ice cold.
I'm getting itchy just hearing this conversation.
Now I'm in your groin.
Oh, God.
Oh, this heat wave is brutal.
That song ended a little prematurely for my taste.
Actually, it ended right on time.
I know, but I wasn't ready.
It's exactly the way it's supposed to end.
Yeah. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 20 till 8.
Why does Taylor Swift suck so much?
Why is she
so horrible?
What are you talking about?
Why should we press the murder button? Well, I'll tell you why. She's a hideous, vapid, dumb.
She's very smart.
She is just a hairdo. She's a hairdo with a guitar.
I'm with Ralph. I don't see any appeal whatsoever. And Bean
are you guys
so,
kidding me?
No, and Bean is so over the top about
Look,
her. It makes
I
it worse.
I get it. She's cute. I understand that. You look at pictures of her and say, yes, she's an attractive girl. But she is just an empty dress.
She's actually not. She's actually very smart, very accomplished, runs a phenomenal business empire, writes
her
own songs.
She's rich. I get it. Yeah, her songs, by the way, are just marginal, are just fine.
I love
it. But she is not a talent.
All right. You heard some clips from the press conference yesterday, Ralph.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about her YouTube. Oh, I'm announcing my new album special news conference where she took questions from her fans. By the way, her people, if your handlers are listening, Taylor Swift, never let her talk without it being written down.
Agreed.
Just
dare you.
Write her speeches out and just tattoo them on the inside of her eyelids so she can never forget them. Because when she tries to talk like a person, she just is exposed.
I tuned into the YouTube press conference yesterday, and I thought she was charming, and
she's an idiot. Here she is talking about her writing her songs. These are her song topics, how she comes up with her ideas for her songs.
Well, you know, I tend to kind of skew in the direction of writing songs about love-related things, relationship feeling-related-esque type situations.
Okay, that's not the most articulately anyone has ever expressed how they write a song.
She makes me look good.
And she's one of these people who's desperate to try to sound smart. So she throws in a lot of words like skew and esque and everything. She can't just boil it down to, yeah, I write about relationships, or no, I write about love. I love esque, I skew with the relationship, love, body,
it's dumb
person,
people.
Woman, thinghood, kindness.
It's dumb people trying to act smart.
Yes, and she's a dope. Here. Do you have the baking clip, her talking about how much she loves to bake?
She's a big fan of baking, yes.
I can't wait to hear her talking about baking.
She likes to make, you know, like gingerbread and pumpkin spice and things like that and give it away to her friends.
Before we go on, I would just like to say, just so you know, Ralph, Bean is such a big fan of hers that he was in the car while this happened and somehow watched YouTube on his cell phone. You know how you can do that?
Oh, God.
So he wouldn't miss this press conference where she talked about.
Because, you know, YouTube only plays something once. You can't go back to YouTube and watch something again. That they've built their empire on just showing videos once.
You know Bean has to hear it the first time.
I like to stay current. But she was world premiering her brand new single yesterday, and that's why I really wanted to tune in, because I wanted to hear that. But here she is. Here's
and everybody
the clip
always asks, is Bean really that? Yeah, I think so. I think this is really Bean.
What about baking, though, Taylor Swift?
Sarah from Arizona says, do you still like to bake? Yes. There's something really calming and soothing to me about having everything measured out and stirring it and preheating the oven and getting it all working out. And then you, like, have to, yeah, I don't know. I really like baking. And I really like cooking. And I really like watching TV.
You're right.
And I really like
walks
baking.
On the beach.
Okay, she's just an adorable 22-year-old
right.
girl.
Ralph used the right word.
She's just young. She's not stupid.
She's 22, for F's sake. Why does she sound like a special needs kindergartner? I like baking. I like watching TV. I like cooking. I like baking. She should run the Special Olympics. She's an adult.
She wouldn't make the Special Olympics.
She's 22 years old, for F's sake.
You. How dare
speak
you?
Speak like a person.
Bean, for God's sakes, you're the guy who hates dumb people.
Yes.
Okay.
Because
honestly,
here's the thing.
She's dumb.
She's a vapid facade. She's a total creation of publicity.
No, I disagree. And here's why. If I didn't know anything about Taylor Swift and I only heard these clips from the press conference, I would go, yeah, that is not an educated or bright
woman.
But
you've heard her songs, which are also dopey.
The fact that I know much more about her and know that she actually is very smart and very together, I give her a pass on maybe not the best day she's ever spent behind a microphone.
Bean's gotten used to that working with me. But but having said that, I'm not always a dope.
That's true. When you look at the depth of feeling and the quality of songs like You're Really Mean, then you realize that she's got a lot going on. You're a big meanie and you're so mean. Don't be mean. It's really mean.
Her new song that she debuted yesterday, Ralph, is called We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together Again. You think that one's maybe about a guy that she dated where she's not going out with him anymore and she's holding a grudge, perhaps?
Oh, murder button. Oh,
that's
so happening. Murder button.
Bean, you like her just to get a reaction out of us.
So. No, I'm a huge...
How?
I would say she's one of my very favorite musical artists. I really would.
That's madness.
That is
madness.
I went to see her in concert last year.
I don't believe it.
I don't go see anyone in concert.
I don't believe
it.
What's the name of her new song?
I told you what it's called.
Say it again.
We are never, ever getting back together again.
That's stupid.
That is a 14-year-old's
yes.
diary entry. That is not a song.
14, that's 11-year-old.
I love my T-Swizzle. There's nothing you can say that's going to stop that.
Her songs are stupid, though. You have to admit. The one Rock just quoted. You have to admit it.
I can't
admit it. She's like a child. She's like that character Charlize Theron played on Arrested Development. She's like a really hot girl with a retarded girl's brain inside of her.
That's the thing is once Bean locks into, hey, she's hot.
Yeah, then you're...
Nothing else matters.
The laser sight does not move off that target.
He can watch
her on the internet. She can be hot on the internet and he can watch it.
And by the way, she's not that hot.
She's fine. She's fine across the board.
Right.
She's fine across the board. She's just cotton candy.
This isn't about her being hot. It's really not about it. It's not a crush. It's not about her being hot. I am fascinated with her the same way
Why?
I'm fascinated with Lena Dunham, for instance.
Lena Dunham
the
has something
show.
Going on.
Yes, because she is an original talent.
And so is Taylor Swift.
No! You're so wrong.
How in the face of real female artists like a Tori Amos or Gwen Stefani or something, I mean, you know music. How can you possibly like her so much when you know how vapid and simple she is?
I pre-ordered the album. Comes out October 22nd. Can't wait.
See, he just does that to get to us, I think. Because it doesn't make sense. Ralph, does it make any sense with what you know about
Bean? It's an insult to real female artists everywhere.
Agreed.
I think there are a lot of Taylor Swift fans out there. I really do.
They're all 9-year-old girls.
Not just the people. I think you'd be surprised to find the wide array of Taylor Swift fans across all sexes and demographics. I really do. I think a lot of people have really responded.
I know she's huge with the baking community.
She likes to bake.
She does like to bake.
And she likes TV.
And cook.
I like cooking. I like TV. I like puppies. Yay!
Yeah. No, to Ray Romano, it's called a telephone.
No. I can't find the number, Deborah.
He's not still with Deborah.
No, he isn't.
They broke up. That's so sad. Ray Romano has been found. He is alive. He will be joining us in the 9 o'clock hour this morning.
Don't use a phone.
Ronnie Lott, NFL Hall of Famer, coming up after the top of this hour here on the Kevin Beach Show. How about that? About 10 minutes, we get to talk to Ronnie Lott.
That guy bit off his entire hand during a game.
Chewed off at the wrist.
That was on TV.
In the middle of a play.
And then he sawed off his other arm when he got stuck in a rock.
Took his hand and he threw it at the football and intercepted the football with his hand disconnected from his body.
Wow.
Toughest man in history.
Caught his hand and ball.
Right. And then glued it back on, taped the hand back on.
Nuts. I'm not sure you have all the facts straight. But we'll talk to Ronnie coming up right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
Before I get to the beat, let me give away some more tickets to the special K-Rock advanced screening we're having of Premium Rush.
Yay!
This is the brand new Joseph Gordon-Levitt film where he stars as a bike messenger who picks up an envelope that attracts the interest of a dirty cop played by the amazing Michael Shannon. This movie looks awesome. Very exciting. I didn't think bikes could be as exciting as that trailer makes this movie look.
Now, when I first saw the trailer, I thought, oh, no.
You thought at least give him a motorcycle, but then they managed to still make it look awesome.
And there was another
bike messenger movie years ago with Kevin Bacon called Quicksilver, I think it was called.
I don't know.
Something like that. But it was ridiculous.
Was it
just
strong?
Ridiculous.
A 10 out of 10?
No, it was ridiculous.
5 stars?
And so when I heard this, I was like, oh, really? But now I'm in with the plot and everything looks... Yeah, and you mentioned Joe Gordon-Levitt, who's just...
He's good in everything.
If you want to see it before anybody else, we're doing a special screening over there on the Sony lot. You get to go to the studio to see this film happening Thursday, August the 23rd. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. Movies and theaters everywhere Friday, August the 24th, if you don't win, so don't feel too bad. First three callers who get through, get a pair of passes to see Premium Rush.
No, that's the band. That's a totally different thing.
It's a movie.
Damn it. There better be some damn Rush music in this movie or it's going to be hell to pay.
I can't
speak. I hope he fails.
Not that Rush either. Nope, that's not right.
Premium Rush. It is Tuesday. That means new release day. CDs, DVDs, and TV shows.
Taylor Swift?
DVD. No,
shut
not
up.
Taylor Swift.
Oh,
not till
October. Sorry.
I'm never, ever getting back together with you. That's not a song. That's a tweet. Ever.
And it's a bad tweet.
CDs. Incubus. HQ Live Special Edition. It's a lot of words in that title.
It's basically Incubus with the new CD-DVD set. You can pick that up. Top of the World by Slightly Stupid. And Mighty Death Pop by Insane Clown Posse. Check that out today for
those
new
gang
music.
Members.
They're a posse.
They're not a gang.
They're not a gang. New on DVD, The Raid. Kevin loved The Raid. I never got around to seeing it.
The Raid Redemption. Oh, that's so good.
I will definitely pick up
if
that.
If you
DVD
like action movies, this is just start to finish. Fighting and action, it's awesome.
Hick with Chloe Moretz and Blake Lively and Alec Baldwin.
That's right.
I heard good things about that film. I didn't get a chance to see that one either. Juan of the Dead.
Right.
Which is the Mexican version of Dawn of the Dead. Not to be confused with Shaun of the Dead.
Right.
Which was the British version of that. It's a zombie spoof. Juan of the Dead. See what they did there? And my buddy Kevin Smith's got a new DVD out today. It's a live concert video of him and his buddy Jason Mewes on tour in the UK. It's called Jay and Silent Bob Get Old, Teabagging in the UK. You can check that out, Kevin and Jason Mewes. It's very funny. I've seen pieces of it. You will enjoy it. By the way, if you want to see me and Smith do our Hollywood Babylon show, there are video clips now every week that is put up on YouTube at the Loud channel on YouTube. You can check out bits and pieces from our show if you want to see what that looks like. And on TV show on DVD, Dexter, the sixth season, you can check that out. Leading up to the premiere of season 7, you can get caught up if you missed season 6.
Great show.
Community, third season. Glee, third season. And Happy Endings, season 1 and 2. No, it's not what you hope. It's just a comedy. It's not the good happy endings. Jason Mayhem Miller has some splaining to do. A pastor at the Mission Hills Church in Mission Viejo called authorities Monday morning when he found his church had been broken into. CDs and books were strewn about. A white powder was all over the floors. There was missing boards from a previously broken window. It looked like the perpetrator got into the church. This is like Goldilocks and the Three Bears, because as they were looking at the crime scene, wait a minute, someone's in my bed, and they're still in there. Authorities, when they showed up, found Jason Mayhem Miller, mixed martial arts fighter and reality show host, naked on the couch in the office of the church.
Naked?
Naked. They say he was coherent and cooperative when they woke him up, which means he slept off whatever caused him to make that poor judgment call in the first place. He's being held on $20,000 bail and is scheduled to appear in court on Wednesday, Orange County.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
Well, they did if they busted into that church. Randy Travis, Jason Miller. Come on now, people.
Hot new celebrity trend. I like it.
Nuding. We'll have to start seeing pictures of that up on Twitter or whatever.
Right.
We are so nuding. Guns N' Roses have announced they're doing a 12-show residency this fall at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Residency means the band sits down there and performs shows for an extended period of time. Guns N' Roses playing shows for an extended period of time.
That's so funny.
You're not going to get me again, Axl Rose. Not falling for this again, where I buy tickets to your concert and you don't show up, or you show up 4 hours late.
That was just New Year's Eve, Ralph. That was just when it was New Year's Eve, and he showed up at 4 a.m. on New Year's Day.
Yeah. Axl Rose and the current lineup of Guns N' Roses are kicking off their show is at The Joint on Halloween and will wrap up November the 24th. The show is called Appetite for Democracy. See what they've done there, man?
Hmm.
It's a blending of the old and new, man.
Is Axl still fat? Has anyone seen him lately?
I have not seen him lately. But I bet he looks plastic surgeried up. What did he do to his face? What's that all
about? I don't know.
That was a bad idea. And we were talking about The Expendables 2, which opens up on Friday. Expendables 3, there was a rumor of the dream list for the cast, who Stallone would like to add in the third installment. Nicolas Cage, Clint Eastwood, Harrison Ford, some of his names on the list. But Jean-Claude Van Damme is in Expendables 2. He's joined the team. And here's another guy who should not do interviews. He was talking about the film, and then someone talked to him about... I'm missing the page here that says what the name of the movie was. It's known as one of the worst films ever. One of the ones that...
Oh, yeah, that he was in, right?
Yeah.
He started.
Damn it, I can't think of the name of the film. This is going to be a pain in the butt.
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter, thank you so much. Street Fighter's the name of the film. He made that with Kylie Minogue.
Oh, what a pair, what a team.
Kylie Minogue and Jean-Claude Van Damme. Street Fighter is made back in the 90s. And there was a rumor that the two of them had hooked up on the set.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that rumor is true. Jean-Claude gave the twisted, most disturbing answer to that question ever. He says, I'll tell you what, you should ask her when asked about the affair. She'll have a better memory. I'm 51 years old. Do you know how much I was punched in the face on The Expendables? No. And let's just say it happened. So what? Who wants to know? Sometimes you let stuff go. I don't know. Maybe. Yes. Okay. Yes. It happened. I was in Thailand. We had an affair.
What the hell?
Then he goes on with more information that we could possibly have wanted. Sweet kisses. Beautiful lovemaking. It would be abnormal not to have an affair. She's so beautiful. And there she was in front of me every day with a beautiful smile. Simpatico. So charming. She wasn't acting like a big star. I knew Thailand very well. So I showed her my Thailand. She's a great lady.
What the hell?
He's the only guy I know who out-creepies Bean.
That means no to me. All of that means no.
He says, yes, it happened.
Too much information, this man.
I bet she's like, you know what? Don't talk so much.
Yeah. You be quiet.
Today's celebrity birthday is DJ Omar Khan, our very own. He's 34 years old today. He is missed. We need him back on the show.
Nah, we got mugs.
DJ Omar Khan.
We got mugs.
That's my point.
Oh.
Spencer Pratt's 29. Mila, let's just take Spencer Pratt's name off this.
That's
list.
A good.
Yes. This is just for celebrities.
Good idea.
That's really
excellent. I heard
not
ex
celebrities.
Heard that he's living with his parents again.
Couldn't make me. Nothing makes me happier than the downfall of Spencer Pratt. Mila Kunis is 29 years old today. Catherine Bell turns 44. Halle Berry's 46, and comedy legend Steve Martin celebrates his 67th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I know we've talked about this before, Kevin, but it's only with major sports superstars that we get all nervous.
That's true.
We've talked to lots of actors and, you know, other people in entertainment, but when it's a sports guy, now you're talking about our youth. I was lucky enough to live in San Francisco back in the 80s, so having Ronnie Lott on the phone is a huge thrill. NFL Hall of Famer joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now as we debut information on the Pac-12 Network, which launches tomorrow at 6. Mr. Lott, a real thrill. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, sir.
Thank you. San Francisco, I love it.
I loved it too, man. You still live up in the Bay Area. I was just wondering, have you ever paid for a drink or a meal when you walk around in town there?
Occasionally, I still have to pay for a meal, but I will say this. When you're with Joe, you get everything.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Of course. So college football, that's where you're turning your attention right now. This Pac-12 network is new. Tell us about it.
Well, first of all, it's new, but second, it's the Pac-12. It's USC. It's UCLA. It's Arizona State. It's Arizona. It's even Colorado. It's Utah. And when you think of those schools and you think of what's going on in the game of football, you got to believe that this is the place to be. So I'm excited that I get a chance to talk about it. But more importantly, I'm excited about it because this is where some of the greatest players have ever played. And you think of USC this year, TJ McDonald, you think of Matt Barkley, you think of all the great players that they have on that team, and they're ranked third right now, and you think of Oregon, which is one of the top teams, and all of a sudden you get so excited to be able to talk about not just football, but to talk about the Pac-12, and I'm jacked up because for me, this is a great opportunity to represent so many great universities, but more importantly, to be able to represent the Pac-12, and there are a lot of friends of mine that are a part of this. Curtis Conway is going to be a part of it. Rick Neuheisel, the coach from UCLA, is a part of the Pac-12 network. And Summer Sanders and others that are going to be a part of it. And we get to be able to bring all the sports, not just football, but all the sports to you. So, yeah, this is very, very exciting. We're trailblazers. And we're creating our own network here and so far, it's been just so exciting, and people have been telling us, I want my Pac-12.
Now, Ronnie, again, new network starts tomorrow night at 6 p.m. Your role in it is what?
My role is I'm the studio host. I get to play the role of being able to talk to all the coaches every week and drilling them and letting and finding out why they were successful, finding out what went wrong, finding out all the things that happened the previous week. So for me, it's great because I get a chance to talk to some guys that I've had a chance to watch over the years, the guys that I've admired, and then some coaches that are up-and-coming coaches. Graham from Arizona State, Leach, who's from Washington State, and then, of course, Lane Kiffin and Jim Mora. Those are guys that I know.
Sure. How much announcing have you been doing in the last few years, Ronnie? Is this an all-new venture for you, or is this just kind of you segueing out of something else?
No, this is something that I've been doing. Heck, even when I was playing, I had a chance to be on the networks. I've had a chance to talk about the game of football. And for me, it's been such a big part of my life. And so over the years, I've been talking about it with the World Football League. I've been talking about it with the USFL. I've talked about the NFL. I've talked about Pee Wee football. I've talked about college football. So football is in my blood. And being able to talk about it on the Pac-12 network, I'm just thrilled to be able to have this opportunity to work with these guys and to really, again, talk about something that's been a big part of my life.
What's the difference between talking about the NFL at that level and talking about college football at that level?
Well, I think the difference is that what you see is excitement. What you see is passion. What you see is somewhat authentic. What you don't see in pro football is somebody maybe giving you 110% because you know some of the personalities. You know some of the guys that might not give you all of what they should give you. In college football, you find yourself around guys that are just very excited about just being out there, being in the environment. It's almost like I haven't arrived yet. I'm still one of those, you know, young people in my that are out there just trying to find a way, trying to carve a path. And I think what you see with young people is that when they're young, they're not jaded. When it becomes a business, it becomes jaded. And sometimes when it becomes jaded, it's a little challenging to watch because you know that at the end of someone's career, they're not happy. Whereas in college football, it's hard for me not to see anyone happy. It's hard for me not to see coaches enthusiastic. It's hard for you not to believe that guys are giving their all because they want to get to the next level. They want to aspire to get to that level.
You played at USC and made it into the pros and into the Hall of Fame. What's it like? What's their mindset? Besides, they're just happy to be out there, but what do you do to get noticed and to be good enough to move into the NFL?
That's a great question. I think what you find yourself doing is you find yourself emulating the guys that are at the next level. You find yourself saying, God, maybe I can be like Troy Polamalu. Maybe I can be like Ed Reed. In my case, I was like, maybe I can be like Dick Butkus. And you find yourself looking up to those guys, and you find yourself trying to emulate them. At the same time, you realize that you got to play within the team, within the framework of the team. And you find yourself realizing that if you're going to be a leader, you're going to have to be able to do something more, and you find yourself wanting to make more plays or greater plays, and all of a sudden you see your teammates around you encouraging you, and before you know it, you start to see that, God, there's some opportunities for possibly playing at the next level,
right,
and maybe a scout talks to you. But all of those, you know, kind of dreams and excitement, all those things that you watch, all those things that you look up to are things that, you know, you really evolve into as you grow as a football player or as an athlete.
This is the voice of Ronnie Lott here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll tell you in a minute how you can see the Pac-12 Network with Ronnie Lott that's debuting tomorrow night at 6. You know, you're going to try to be unbiased on this network, or are you still a USC homer, Ronnie?
Well, you know what? At the end of the day, you are what you are. You know, it's hard to say that I'm not, and the reason why it's hard to say that is because it's a part of my body. It's a part of my blood.
I just see week after week you're going to be, oh, I'm sorry, we're out of time once again to talk to the UCLA coach. Sorry.
Well, look, I can tell you right now, Jim Mora will be the first one because just knowing him, he would be the first one to tell me, hey, look, your son went to UCLA, so you better give me some time.
Ah, there you go. All right, this Pac-12 network, as we mentioned, is a brand-new network. It is going to be debuting on the Comcast cable network, on Time Warner Cable, on Cox, so that covers a lot of people. You have not yet secured deals with the satellite, so I can't get you on my DirecTV or my Dish or anything like that, but how's that going? They're working on it now, right, Ronnie?
I want my Pac-12.com. I want my Pac-12Network.com. Just go there. If you go there and you register, you tell your network, you tell the satellite folks that you want my Pac-12. I want my Pac-12. So you can get involved. You can encourage them. And I think one of the things that I'm seeing right now is that we got a lot of fans, especially in Southern California, are doing just that. So it's been great to hear fans call me, text me, Twitter me, you name it. They've been telling me, look, I want my Pac-12, so it's been great. But as you pointed out, Comcast is the place to go.
Yeah, and I'll tell you one more thing, and you know, you've been feeling this your whole life. When it starts to get into August, you start to think about that football again, and it makes you so happy knowing that we're right around the corner from being able to see all this great gridiron action. It's going to be another fantastic season, Ron. I'm glad we're going to get to watch you on our TV talking about it.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. I'll be the first one to tell you. There is nothing like smelling that green grass, guys. Nothing like it at all. So, yeah, it is that time of year. It's football. And more importantly, it's the Pac-12 network that's going to be so exciting. And we get to talk about all the USC, all the UCLA football.
There you go, Ronnie Lott. Thanks very much. We appreciate your time.
All right, guys. You guys take care, and thank you very much.
You bet. Talk to you.
What 106.7 K-Rock. KROQ.
Okay, go now.
Kevin and Bean Show, 827.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Eric Retzan, listening to the Ronnie Lott interview on your show. Hey, do you think he's a fan of the Pac-12? He was extremely vague. Yeah, he didn't bring that up, but thank you very much for calling, Eric. Sorry we didn't make that clear to you.
It's tough to launch a new network, I guess, is the point of that.
Hey, Ralph did a story in the Showbiz Beat yesterday that created some conversation here in the office that we need some help with on the phones at 1-800-520-1067. Apparently, Mila Kunis, some are accusing her of breaking the girl code because she hooked up with Ashton Kutcher. Of course, she's known Ashton Kutcher for many, many years because they co-starred together on That 70s Show for all those years, but they didn't have a relationship then. But she has become very good friends with Demi Moore since that time, and now she's dating Demi Moore's ex-husband. Is that cool or not cool?
It depends on how close friends she and Demi Moore are. Maybe they were at one point, but haven't been in a while.
Is that the girl code? The girl code is you don't date my ex?
If it's a really good friend, yeah.
Good friends don't date your exes.
But you're done with them.
But if I'm really done with them, then all I know is she really doesn't listen to me when I tell her about right. all the things that are wrong with him.
But Lisa, wouldn't that make you kind of uncomfortable, even if you were really done with the guy, if now you've broken up, but he's still sort of in your circle of friends now because he's dating one of your best friends? Don't you want him to just go away if you're done with him? You don't want him still sticking around and being part of your life, do you?
No, I really don't. That's true. Generally speaking, I would want him gone.
But it doesn't sound like Demi Moore and Mila Kunis hang out.
No, I don't think
they don't know each
do.
Other that well, I don't think.
Yeah.
We have Linda, our intern.
Loretta. It's Lynette.
Lynette. Sorry. Our intern in here. Tell us your weird, convoluted story.
Okay. My boyfriend and I, we got together, and then our exes got together. So we did a little switcheroo.
Our exes. Okay.
So you and your girlfriend broke up with your respective boyfriends.
Right.
And basically switched partners.
Right, exactly. My ex and I, we ended things, and his ex and her ended things, and then those two got together.
Your best friend got together with your ex-boyfriend, and then you got together with her ex-boyfriend.
She and I really weren't that great of friends, so then I thought, okay, well, I don't really care about this friendship. I'd much rather be with this guy.
Okay, so that matters a lot for the woman code. That matters if how good a friend you are if you want to...
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
Can you not remain friends?
I don't think it's a good idea. Yeah. I think you just need to be done with those people if you want to move on with someone else.
What is it that you saw in her ex and she saw in your ex that neither of you saw with that person?
Well, she was good friends with my ex for the longest time.
And like, by good friends.
By good friends. Yeah. I could kind of tell she was into him and it was only a matter of time. He and my relationship ended disastrously. It was really bad.
Okay.
And my current boyfriend was such a gentleman through the whole thing, such a good guy. To be honest, it was kind of a rebound relationship, but it's ended way
longer.
Let's
call him and tell him that.
Well, it's like, you know, 6 years later, it's still going
on. 6 years?
So, yeah.
Wow. We want to take some phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. The juicier the better, by the way, if there's a girl code that's been broken and somebody is dating somebody's ex. And we're specifying it has to be, we're talking about girls that are dating boys that their friends used to date, right? We're not looking for the other way around.
I think so.
Okay. So we're talking about the girl code here. By the way, and that phone number is 1-800-520-1067. Lynette, you pulled the Shania Twain is what you did. You remember what happened to her, right? Shania Twain was married for 15 years or something like that to Robert Lang, the famous producer. They made all those records together that sold us. And then they got a divorce because he cheated on Shania Twain, by the way, one of the hottest women in the world. He cheated on her with her best friend, ended up leaving Shania Twain and marrying Shania's best friend. What did Shania do? Started dating and eventually married her best friend's husband.
Yeah, I was cheated on,
same
too.
Thing.
They wife swapped.
Yes. I don't know who any happened. Of those people are.
So apparently it works out, and apparently they're all still friends. So that just is an extraordinary circumstance. Usually it doesn't work out that well where everybody's still getting along. Usually there's some hard feelings, and that's what makes Kevin and Bean happy.
Hey,
yeah,
Linda?
We like the hard feelings.
Linda, did your friend, is she still with your ex-boyfriend?
You know, they're not together anymore, so that relationship didn't last. Mm-hmm. And my boyfriend, they're still friendly, like he and his ex. But mm-hmm. I don't really talk to either of them. I'm kind of done with the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, look at you moving on with your life. Oh, aren't you
She's
something?
So mature.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your call. You know, there are times when we don't think we're going to get any calls, like when you faked your own death, and then we're surprised by getting calls. This particular one, we knew there'd be a lot.
Yeah. No, absolutely, yeah. Look, anytime we get a chance to talk about girl fights, we're going to talk about girl fights here on the Kevin Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Did you violate the girl code? Did you date your friend's ex? Or did they date yours? What happened? That's what we want to hear about. Where do you want to start? We got some great ones on
now,
the line
I had somebody
here.
Tweet me saying that Mila Kunis, no matter what happened, was not breaking the girl code because she knew him before Demi Moore.
Because she knew him before Demi Moore did.
So interesting.
That even though they were just friends?
That renders it null and void. I don't know. That's what we're trying to find out. Hmm. Let's start with Irene. Come on, Irene.
Hello?
Hi.
Okay, that does go in the file. God damn you to hell with Come On, Irene. Seriously? You're not even Chinese.
Nicely done.
Irene, what's going on? The girl code was violated. What's the story?
So the girl code was violated by my sister, actually.
Your sister?
Your sister.
The sister code.
Yeah, so I was dating this guy. We broke up. And then 6 months after she hooked up with them, we went to the party and found her kissing him, and then they hooked up. And so her excuse was, well, I knew him before you. And I was like, whatever, but I dated him and you didn't. So
we just brought that up. Knowing him before you doesn't make it okay.
It doesn't make it okay, but that was her justification.
So
for
you
it,
found so. Them 6 months later. That didn't happen 6 months later. That was a regular thing. You know that, right?
Hey,
even while you were with him.
Let me ask you this, Irene, because a lot of these stories that we'll be talking about involve friends who are no longer in touch. What do you do when it's your sister? You guys didn't stop talking to each other, right?
No, we didn't stop talking to each other, but funny thing is I make her feel bad. I bring it up every once in a while to kind of like, you know, kind of rub her face in it.
Oh, so it didn't last long. That helps, I imagine.
No, it didn't last very long.
It's not like she married the dude, right?
Helps with your relationship with her.
All right, Irene, thank you very much for the call. Let's try Carrie. All I can see is that her story ends badly, and those are the kind I like. Carrie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Well, I was best friends with this girl, and we actually worked together. And I was dating a guy for, I don't know, 4 to 6 months, and he had a best friend, and I was trying to set them up, and I ended up falling in love with his best friend and kind of, like, pulling the switch where I was trying to get them together, and it was, oh, yeah.
So you broke up with your boyfriend and then started dating the guy you were trying to set your sister up with, or your best friend with?
Yes. Yes, and the best part about this was the guys that I'm talking about had been best friends since they were like 5. Like their mothers were best friends, and yeah, that didn't go over well.
Really? So the guys stopped talking to each other?
They did stop talking to each other, and then I had to work with my best friend. So imagine how awkward that is, walking in every morning and being like, "Hi."
See, the love is complicated, isn't it, you guys? It's always messy. What's that old saying about how the heart wants what it wants? I mean, you don't always pick the person that makes the most sense or is the easiest trail. That's for sure.
All right, Gary, thank you for the call. Let's see here. Let's go to Danielle. I like this one. I like the double cheat. Hi, Danielle.
Hello.
What happened?
Okay, so my ex-boyfriend, he was my first, by the way. He cheated on me, and then a few months later, my best friend started dating him.
Did he cheat on you with your best friend?
No, it was a different person, a wonderful guy, right?
Yeah.
A winner. But no, so, like, I guess like a few months later after that, she ended up cheating on him.
Sweet.
So it's like sweet revenge.
Jerry! Jerry! Jerry!
You know, I hear these calls, and it's a miracle we don't all have the same STDs.
I got news for you. We do.
We do. Maybe we do, yeah. Was there a happy ending at all?
Oh, she's gone. Sorry about that.
That's all right. That's fine. Let's try Samantha, because hers involves jail, and that'll juice it up a little bit. Hi, Samantha. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking about violating the girl code. Somebody dates somebody's ex. What happened?
Hey there. Hey. So, yeah, I got two good stories, but the first one was my boyfriend throughout high school, and I ended up getting arrested, and my best friend growing up came to visit me at jail and ran into him. And so then I saw them together. They kept visiting me in jail, and I was like, oh, I know this is going to happen. And they ended up having my godson, but I ended up getting with my ex's brother, which he's from a Mexican family. That's a big no-no.
Okay. So the Mexican thing is a big, big no-no. Oh,
I guess so.
That's weird. Did they start coming to visit you in jail together?
Yes, yeah, they would show up together.
This story has everything.
What were you in jail for, if you don't mind my asking?
Supposedly, I was getting charged with an armed robbery.
Supposedly?
You were in jail for being a hoe. Come on.
What? What? That's messed up. You wouldn't be in the jail for 4 months for being a hoe.
Yeah, that's probably true. I love you. I want to date you next. Put me on the list.
Thanks for the 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5 minutes till 9 o'clock.
That song going out, long distance dedication to Bean Baxter. I'm a creep. I'm so creepy.
How dare you? Ray Romano joins us next after the top of the hour, if you can find the phone number.
Can't use the phone, Deborah.
He's not with Deborah anymore. That was just a show. A rare opportunity to see the great Ray Romano on stage doing stand-up.
2 hours late. I can't even work a phone.
First Rob clock. With the showbiz beat, what's going on?
Oh, it's awful. Oh, Deborah.
What was Brad Garrett's character's name? What was his brother's name?
Larry.
No, was it Larry?
I don't know.
The only name I know it wasn't was Larry. If you could have said any other name, I would have been like, maybe that was it. I know it wasn't Larry.
Robert.
Thank you.
Oh, Robert. Why didn't you tell me I had to call those guys on the radio? Oh, Deborah.
I just, Kevin, you know Ray really
Robert.
Well. I just picture him laying there like struggling with, I can't believe I have to get up and dial this phone. I'm so anxious about this. What if it doesn't go well? What if I trip on the way to the phone?
He was probably watching SportsCenter.
He's got more money than God. Can't he hire a person to dial a phone for him and hand it to him? That's all he's got to do.
He has a person that almost did that for him. And still
but didn't quite close the deal.
Well, we can talk to him right off the top of the
hour. Oh, talking is hard.
That he can do.
Before I get to showbiz news, let me give away some more passes to the very special advanced screening of Premium Rush.
Will Glenda be there?
No, Glenda's not invited any longer. We've got a picture of Glenda at the door. It's like, do not let this woman in.
That was one of the weirdest moments ever when we were talking to Larry King. He said, out of nowhere. We were like, we don't know who
Glenda
is.
Be there. We don't know who Glenda is, Larry.
Sure, yeah. It's exciting.
All right, sorry, back to the movie.
Premium Rush. Joseph Gordon-Levitt stars as a bike messenger who gets into a whole passel of trouble. I'm bringing Passel back, by the way.
Good luck with that.
Thank you. He's got a special delivery, and looks like the mob's after it. A dirty cop wants to talk to him. It's an exciting chase scene. You've seen the trailer all the way through the city of New York with him on his bike. He does some wacky stuff on that bike, too.
Sure does.
Premium Rush, it's happening at the Sony lot. You get to go to the studio to see the film Thursday, August the 23rd. Movies in theaters everywhere the next day on the 24th, which is a Friday. Call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers to get through. Get a pair of passes to our special advanced screening of Premium Rush. It's been a bad week for Chad Ocho Cinco.
Oh, he's
Johnson.
Dumb. He's stupid.
He's an idiot. Yeah. At the age of 34 years, he had a chance to continue to play in the NFL when he hooked up with the Miami Dolphins.
With the Dolphins.
Yeah, it's practically the NFL.
It's like a practice squad.
But he screwed that up with his bizarre press conference and his off-field antics and dropping a ball during the preseason game and then headbutting his wife. The domestic violence charge against him caused the
Miami Dolphins say, you know what, we're going to let you go about your own business now. We don't really need you in our organization. Things are compounded by the fact that VH1 has announced they're canceling plans for Chad's upcoming reality show. It was already in the can. They shot it.
They shot the whole thing.
It was good to go. It was supposed to debut on September the 3rd. Ev and Ocho was the name of the show. It's about Chad and his wife, Evelyn.
Oh, well, that would be difficult.
Yeah, it's hard to paint them as a happy couple after he was arrested for allegedly headbutting her over the weekend. Due to the unfortunate events over the weekend and the seriousness of the allegations, VH1 is pulling the series Ev and Ocho from its schedule and has no current plans of airing it. So Chad's lost his TV show, too.
Don't you get the idea no one likes him?
Yes.
And they bail at the first opportunity. Like VH1 yes. didn't really like him but thought they might be good business.
It's a massive pain in the ass.
Dolphins.
And when given the opportunity and a legitimate reason to bail on someone, they take advantage of it.
Yeah.
They look for context, as we've learned on Newsroom. Sometimes you can fire someone when you get context. And they have created context, certainly, in that situation. Speaking of television, by the way, I want to thank the good people at Sci-Fi and the creators and writers of Alphas, one of my favorite shows.
That's a good show.
For the spectacular lesbian makeout scene between Rachel and Nina last night.
Yeah!
Maybe the best 3 minutes of television I've seen all year long.
I recorded that. I had no idea.
Oh, sweet Jesus in heaven. Nina pushes Rachel with her powers.
You know, sweet.
Push, in quotes, on the Alpha show means she gets to
she
command her
mind.
What to do. Yeah. It's mind control. And she says, yeah, Rachel, you want to kiss me right now. And Rachel just starts macking out with her.
Fantastic.
It was spectacular.
Nice work on that
spectacular
show.
Spectacular television. Well done, Alphas.
And they're both hot, for those of you that
yes,
don't watch the show.
Yes, and you should be watching the show if you're not.
You have any idea what happened after that scene, Ralph, or no?
Yes.
You're out.
I know what happened.
No, I mean on the show.
Yes, Nina was on the run. That's what they were trying to hunt her down because she's lost. She's off the reservation. She's pushing people left and right. She's stealing money. And so Dr. Lee Rosen and his team needs to bring her back into the fold. And so they were hunting
her down.
They
brought her back into the fold.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Into certain folds. Into these folds. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Listen to that bell.
Yeah. Jeremy Renner's one of the good guys. He has joined the long list of people who don't like the Kardashians. Daniel Craig, John Hamm, me. A long list of people who don't care for the Kardashians. Jeremy Renner told the Guardian newspaper in the UK this week that the family is comprised of ridiculous people with zero talent who spend their lives making sure everyone knows their name.
You don't think I feel bad?
Nope.
Not bad enough.
I can't think of a more succinct description of the Kardashians than what Jeremy Renner gave us. So good on you, Jeremy. Did you see, by the way, that Kim tweeted a topless picture of her 16-year-old sister?
No.
On Twitter?
A topless picture?
Her back is turned, but she's obviously wearing no shirt. And so now apparently they are pimping out the young ones, trying to get some attention.
Her sex tape has waned a little, so it's time for a new one.
That's right.
There was some new story this morning that her mom, Chris, was involved in marketing that
came out last week. It's one of the tabloids has a source that they gave a lie detector test to, who claims to have seen Kris Jenner's name on the contract of an intermediary that they gave the tape to, who then turned around and sold it to Vivid, and it was and Kris got a percentage of that deal, and then Kim sued Vivid on top of her for releasing the tape without her consent. And then she settled for a large cash settlement on the outside. So they made money on both ends of the deal, reportedly.
Maybe they're smarter than we think.
Well, they're certainly greedier than we think.
Yeah.
When it comes to money, they get real smart.
I have a question for you, Ralph.
Yes.
Has a sex tape ever backfired on a hot chick? Has it ever been worse for them as a result of a sex tape coming out? With the exception of, you know, like the photos for Vanessa Williams because she was a pageant winner. You know what I mean? I mean, that.
But even that didn't backfire on her. But she lost her crown, but she got a career out of it. She became a singer and actress. She became much more successful than she ever would have been for just being Miss America.
Our point here, people, is that it's worth it, so do it.
So start humping and filming is what we're saying.
But for all these people who always are, you know, cry because their sex tape gets out and talk about how violated they are, it doesn't seem like it has ever been a negative for them.
I think it's faux out. Rage. I think they just feel like they have to,
especially if they look good,
publicly put out that they're offended by the presence of such a thing.
I mean, there's no shame in doing a sex tape, for God's sake.
No.
Nothing to be embarrassed
outrage
about.
There.
There's no
exactly, dear mug.
Just do it. Just make more sex tapes.
Lisa.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
John Cleese of Monty Python fame got married over the weekend for the fourth time. married his 41-year-old bride in a ceremony in the Caribbean island of Mystique.
How old is he?
He's 72.
72, 41.
He's a spry 72, and she is a child bride of 41. And
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
No, you can't, John, but you have a young bride, so congratulations. And Zach Galifianakis and his fiancée, Quinn Lundberg, got married Saturday at a farm in Vancouver, Canada. Congratulations to those guys. The wedding was a quickie. It only lasted a half an hour, but they managed to avoid the paparazzi, who apparently had caught wind of the marriage and staked out various Greek Orthodox churches in the area.
Oh, that's funny.
Because they knew Zach is a Greek Orthodox. So they were able to pull the wool over the paparazzi's eyes and get married just under the wire.
No one whose name starts with a Z has ever married anyone whose name starts with a Q before, by the way.
I am tempted to test that fact, but I don't care.
Asperger's. We see a story about two people getting married. Beans, he's Z's and Q's.
That's not info, Bean.
Now, granted, I made that fact up, but I still bet it's true.
Speaking of alphas, Bean's like that autistic kid who sees the radio waves through the air. They just constantly, he's just gesturing in the air, flipping.
Yes, he is.
Flipping code and waves through the air as he reads it.
And he's just as social as that kid, too.
Yes, he is. It's 7:42. I always get up at 7:42. I need to have my breakfast.
Don't
call my mother
me.
At 8.
Don't touch me.
Don't touch me. My personal space. Don't touch me. I'm going to take this towel off. I'm going to show you my fruit. Very disturbing.
Bean is a younger kid.
That's right.
That's awesome.
Today's celebrity birthday, Steve Martin, 67 years old today. Marcia Gay Harden is 53. Halle Berry turns 46 years old. Catherine Bell is 44. Mila Kunis is 29. And Omar Khan is 34. Thank God we had Omar's birthday to stop that bell ringing in my ear.
Yeah, it wasn't in your ear.
I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Now, you're telling me if I hit that button, he'll be there, right? You're vouching for Ray Romano this time, not like earlier today, right?
Ray?
No. I don't have to be on time.
What happened?
Look, I'm a huge star.
But why couldn't you call us earlier?
Because the guy who I have make phone calls, I had him killed. That's getting old.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. We have another Ray Romano on the line. This one doesn't sound as much like the real guy, though.
That's a hack. That's a hackney impression now, dude. No, it's not hack. It's good, Deborah.
I don't mean the execution is hack. I mean just the premise. It's like doing Jack Nicholson. It's old now.
Like everybody does Ray now, right? So what's the point?
Yeah, and I've been listening to that for an hour and a half.
All right, we'll say goodbye to the fake Ray. Real Ray, what happened? You were going to call us. What happened, dude? Why are you mad?
It was a miscommunication. You know what it was?
There's no miscommunication.
Yes.
I texted you yesterday and said 7:30.
It's a Y2K glitch.
That one was a sleeper glitch, I'll tell you that.
They still haven't ironed it out.
Wow, I thought that was all taken care of.
How about that?
I wish I could say I overslept.
Right.
You know what I did? I overlaid in bed and took my pulse by just listening to my pulse in my ear without actually having to touch anything.
How often do you take your pulse?
I don't take it a lot, but in the morning is when you're supposed to take it. And I was laying down, and my ear was on the pillow, and I could feel my heartbeat in my ear. I didn't have to touch my neck or anything. I could feel my heartbeat in my ear. I didn't have to. So
okay.
I said, "Oh, this is a perfect time. I'm just going to get the phone." I'll use my phone, my iPhone, and I put the timer on. I check my pulse, and it was a little higher than I thought. So then I had to Google what your pulse should be.
Right.
Next thing you know, you're doing an impression of me.
Can I tell you what we were doing while you were laying on your pillow listening to your heart?
What were you doing?
Treading water, my friend.
We were stalling. That's what we were doing.
I was only a couple minutes, and then I called up, and then...
We run a tight ship here, Ray. Come on.
I know. I flaked.
Listen, the reason Mr. Romano is on the phone, and we're always excited to talk to Ray, is he frequently flies to Las Vegas and does his hilarious stand-up for big, big bucks out there. But not a lot of opportunities in Southern California to see Ray on stage doing stand-up, and you've got one this Saturday night at the Broad Stage in Santa Monica, and this is a special benefit that you're doing. What's the cause? What are you raising money for this time, Ray?
My wife got involved with this place called the Harvest Home. And it's a small little place. They've been there since 1985. It's in Venice. And it's just a place for pregnant, homeless women who have nowhere to go. It's gives them a place to go and supports them and gets them on their feet. And it's a place where they have nowhere else to turn. And it just helps them have their baby and put them get them on their feet.
So did
beautiful. Did she come home and pitch that to you, or did she just say, keep Saturday night the 18th open?
No, she told me about the place.
All right.
She's been with them for about a year. And then I said, if you want, I'll get out there and do my stupid jokes and help them.
And she said, who else can you get?
Yeah. She said, you're not closing, are you? We got Jason Alexander, got Wendy Liebman, Cheryl Hines, and there's a young singer. She's 17 years old. She's amazing, and she's going to sing a song for us.
Wow.
CJ, her name is. It's going to be a cool night, yeah.
No, this is a phenomenal lineup. Ray Romano, Jason Alexander, Cheryl Hines, Wendy Liebman, the singer you mentioned. Tickets just $70. You can get it right now, but it's selling out fast, by the way. This thing is almost already sold out. So if you want to see this night and raise money for the Harvest Home, which is a great local charity, go to everybodylovestolaugh.com. Everybodylovestolaugh.com. There's a cocktail reception, silent auction, comedy show, the whole deal. Hey, Ray, while we have you.
Yes.
I love Parenthood. It's one of my very favorite shows. When I heard that you were joining the cast, I got a little bit nervous. You're not going to screw it up for me, are you?
Oh, geez.
You're not going to come in there and ruin that show.
That started out good. That started what you were saying. Started out. I was all happy to hear that.
The reason
I'm on it is because I love the show too, and I like the guy who runs it. And Jason Kadams also ran Friday Night Lights, and he does a great job. And I kind of know him. And after this season ended, I called him up and I told him, we kind of know each other. I congratulate him. And I said, listen, I was kind of half joking, saying, if there's ever something for me in there, no matter what my agent tells you, I can give you a better price. And he took me up on it. And I'm going to do it. I'm not going to screw it up. I'm going to be in and out. Don't worry about it.
You're dating Lauren Graham's character.
No, I'm not.
Show.
I'm not.
You're not. That's a rumor. Okay.
I don't want that out there because she's with Jason Ritter now.
Yes, that's right. We love them together, right?
Yeah, and he's a young.
We're talking about having a baby, the whole deal. Yeah.
He's a 30-year-old stud. Well, am I going to go up against him? Put it this way. When I'm on that show, I am staying off the internet because they're going to trash me.
Yeah.
How dare I,
knock
that young stud out? But I'm not. They say I'm going to complicate matters. I don't know what that means.
That means she's not going to be able to take her eyes off you.
No.
How can you resist Ray Romano? Come on.
I just want to get my legal TV kiss and get out.
I just love that you're in a position where you can call up the shows that you like and say, hey, put me in, coach. I'm ready to play. And they do it. That's power
true.
In Hollywood right there, Ray.
Can I tell you how not true that is? Because you know what show I would like to be on also?
What?
My show, Men of a Certain Age.
Yeah, they weren't that interested in your opinion about being on that show, were they?
Yeah, I enjoyed that show.
That was a good show, too, but they didn't agree. Apparently.
Well, no, I think they agreed it was a good show, but they did agree that not enough people were watching.
Ah,
it was kind of under the radar. We won awards. We did our thing.
Sure.
Hey, Kevin and I love that show. We watched every episode. I mean, seriously, and you were terrific on it. I just am teasing about the Parenthood thing. It's funny that you're going to be on it, but I'm sure you're going to be great, Ray, and I can't wait for the new season. That show is brilliant.
Yeah, appreciate it. I do like it, though. It is a good show. It's kind of up my alley.
Yeah, it sure is.
I still got kids. I still have kids in the house. My youngest is 14.
Right.
And first of all, Kevin knows he's 6'2".
Yeah.
He's
taller than I am.
Yeah. But the thing about when you have four kids, like he's my last one.
You think?
Parenthood is hard. But when it's your fourth one, you're kind of giving like 60% now.
You've already quit?
Yeah. You know what?
You're coasting.
Can I tell you one story?
Yeah.
We took him to see Ted.
Yes.
My wife and I took him to see Ted, and he's 14. And this is what my wife doesn't quite get me yet, so we still have issues.
Sure.
And on the way there, my wife was, are we horrible parents for taking, it's not hardcore, but it's an R-rated
movie. It's raunchy.
So I said to Joe, my son Joe, I said, all right, Joe, here's the thing. We're going to be in the movie when we're going to use a code word. Whenever there's something coming up on the screen that you shouldn't see or hear, I'm just going to say it, and you just cover your eyes and your ears. And the code word is pussy.
Oh, my God.
And my wife was No! You know, it was like I was a dog who peed on the carpet.
Was she rubbing your face and rubbing your nose in it?
She was. Yeah, she just, you know, and she was like, why? And I'm like, because Joe was cracking up, and that was the whole point. And she, why couldn't you use a different word? And I go, you don't get it. I've been doing comedy. I play, in that little time that I was saying it, I ran all the words in my head.
What would be funniest?
Yeah, that's the only one. There was like two words, and the other one was even worse.
Imagine the people sitting in front of you at the movie theater, though, that had to go home and go, there was a guy that was sort of like Ray Romano that kept saying the P word.
And by the way, the word came up in the movie about eight times.
Oh, my God. All right, we're out of time. Saturday night, Broad Stage, Santa Monica. See Ray Romano on stage, Jason Alexander, Cheryl Hines, Wendy Liebman. It's a great cause for a great charity called Harvest Home. You can check them out online too. Buy the ticket for just $70. EverybodyLovesToLaugh.com. Ray, you're the best,
thanks,
man. Always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Sorry I was late, but thanks. I appreciate it.
106.7 KROQ is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 20 minutes till 10 o'clock.
Well, you know, I tend to kind of skew in the direction of writing songs about love related things, relationship feeling related esque type situations.
Did you buy the Taylor Swift single yet? Have you been to iTunes yet, Ralph? You checked that out, her new song?
No, but I did get the Taylor Swift dartboard, which I'll get a lot of use out of. That's going to come very handy.
Very excited. The return of Peace
Wizzle with a dart.
First of all, Bean can't be as excited as he says. And second of all, I guarantee this new song blows.
Yeah. It's awesome, yeah, like they all are.
What's the Ralph's title of the song?
We're Never Ever Getting Back Together Again.
Yeah, that's not a song. That is a tweet or a text.
It's a bad text from a 9-year-old.
Yes. Or something you say on the playground or during recess.
Let's go through it tomorrow.
To the
Let's
guy.
Let's go through the song tomorrow.
How dare
to the
you?
Guy who
How dare you?
Stole
line
your
line.
Peachy folder. Dumb whore.
Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show.
Finally. I can talk about what I was doing for those 2 weeks when I took some vacation
Fantastic.
Time off and
oh,
left
good.
In July.
That's great.
The news has finally been released by Spike Entertainment Weekly. EW.com has the exclusive story. You can go over there and check out the full details. But it is the return of the Joe Schmo Show.
Really?
Some 8 years after our second season, Spike TV came to us a while ago and said, we think we have an idea to do another Joe Schmo. We want to reboot and bring back the franchise. Would you be on board?
And that's where everyone was in on the joke, cast included, except for one person.
The premise was, back in 2003 was the time we did the first one, and then we did the second one in 2004. But the premise is, it is a faux reality show, a fake reality show, where we basically create a world that appears to be a reality show. But all of the contestants on it are improvisational comic actors, except for one person. They do a nationwide search for a person who wants to be on a reality competition TV show, and they cast that person. That person thinks he's going to be on a real reality show, and then insane things happen around this guy for the 2 weeks that we shoot it. And at the very end, we reveal to him what the truth of the situation was.
And then he kills himself, and everybody's sad.
And so the first one was a huge success for Spike, when it was just a fledgling cable network. The second one, we overreached, I think, a little bit. We tried to do two schmoes, a guy and a girl, and we did a bachelorette-type spoof. And I thought it was a very funny show, not quite as good, I think, as the first one.
That was the one where you were the British guy.
I played a British host
with the bad teeth.
Derek Newcastle, because they wanted to disguise me so no one would recognize me from one.
Is that when the Falcon had spoken?
That was the Falcon twist. Yeah, so there's a lot of funny, great moments in two. We're very proud of that, although we didn't think it was as good as one.
But, Ralph, you have said all along, since the years have passed, that reality TV has gotten so insane now that it's almost impossible to parody anymore.
Right. The stuff we were doing on Joe Schmo 1, which we thought was outlandish, that we were surprised someone could actually believe that anyone would do this on a TV show. How could this guy not know it was a comedy? Is paled in comparison to what they really do on real reality shows now.
So how do you parody that now?
That was the thing. That was the thing. We kind of let it go after the second one and said, well, that was fun. It had its run. It had its day in the sun. But now you can't do that.
That's why you had your flea-ridden beard?
That's why I didn't have a flea-ridden beard. That was beer mug. Oh. I grew my beard to disguise me as the host for the third one. And they said, we'll never be able to do it again unless we come up with a brilliant concept. You know, a funny fake show to put on that's worthwhile creating all of this
you know, this, building this world around. And so someone came up with the idea of doing a spoof of all of these pseudo-reality shows now that are about sheriffs and cops and repo men and bounty hunters. And they came up with a show called The Full Bounty, where I play a grizzled, hard-ass bounty hunter. And the people on the show are competing for a chance to get a job with me as a bounty hunter. And so the premise is all like bounty hunter-related stunts and training and all this stuff. It is, I'm telling you, I'm so glad I get to talk about it now because I think it is the best one of all three of them. I really do. It's hilariously funny. We've got a great schmo. And I'm telling you, I think you're going to enjoy it. So,
when does that start?
We don't start until it airs in January of 2013.
January!
Yeah, you're going to have to wait until the new year. But it is...
I'm busy.
It is going to be quite the TV experience, and I hope people will tune in because we're really happy with how it turned out. So.
Ralph, I'm watching the trailer right now. Is that Lorenzo Lamas in a Speedo?
Lorenzo Lamas.
What's happening? What's happening?
It was so funny. They said to me, you know, we want to have, you know, we're gonna cast it with great, funny people, just like we did. You know, Kristen Wiig was in the first one. Lance Krall was in the first one. David Hornsby, great cast. The second cast, we had John Huertas, who's now on Castle. I mean, we've always found great actors to populate this fake reality show. This time around, when they were pitching me the idea, they said, and we want to have thrown at a celebrity, like a celebrity wants to be a bounty hunter. So he's joining the competition, too. We're going to get a real celebrity, you know, somebody like a Lorenzo Lamas type, because he played Renegade on television, who was a bounty hunter, right? So Lorenzo Lamas, his career's on the wane. He decides he's going to become a real bounty hunter, so he's going to compete on the show.
They used him as the example.
That was the example. And I said, great, but you're going to find somebody funny, right? You'll get like somebody good. It'll be a Lorenzo Lamas type. They said, yeah, we'll find somebody, you know, but like Lorenzo Lamas. So it comes time to shoot, and I say, who did you get for the Lorenzo Lamas type guy? We got Lorenzo Lamas. And I said, oh, no. Couldn't you find somebody funny? Turns out Lorenzo steals this damn
show.
No
kidding.
Wow. He is so hilariously funny and such a great guy. He's like a buddy of mine now, and it's crazy. But, yeah, you do see in the trailer, you'll see him wearing a casual pouch, as it's called on the show. And he is in full display. I'm telling you, it's going
to
be great. So
we don't
once
have to
again,
see you in that, do we?
No.
Okay.
I was given the option of whether or not I would participate
and
in that particular
no?
scene. And I said, I think I will keep my clothes on.
Excellent.
For the good
you,
of humanity.
It's a good choice.
I will
you
keep
do
my
look,
on.
And it's partly because you're aging so poorly, Ralph, but you do look like you're right out of Sons of Anarchy in this clip.
That
you really
was,
are badass.
That was the prototype. They said, you know Ron Perlman on Sons of Anarchy, his character? So that's the kind of bad, like grizzled old world, you know, the weather-beaten guy. That's the kind of that's what we're going for. So it's kind of a cross between Ron Perlman on Sons of Anarchy and Dog the Bounty Hunter, with a little a couple other characters that I like on reality television. I kind of threw into the mix.
Love
it. I only had one demand when I came on board the show. I said, at no time would this guy ever wear anything that has sleeves. I said, no sleeves ever for
Welcome
this character.
Welcome to the gun show.
And so they said, that's hilarious. He never wears sleeves. So we've got me in like 25 different outfits, none of which have sleeves.
I like it.
And it's, I couldn't be happier with the way that it turned out, and I think it's going to be terrific. So
you're Larry the Cable Guy, essentially, at this point.
Well, not a you know, a sloppy redneck, but like, I mean, it's no sleeves, but everything's like, it's not someone just cut the sleeves off. It's all been, you know, sewn and crafted. His clothes are specifically made that he never wears sleeves. And I'm telling you, it was just a blast to make, and I think everyone's really going to love it. So people have been asking for a long time, what were you doing? What TV show were you shooting when you're on vacation? And so it's on EW.com, and Spike has finally released the information, so I'll be talking more about it as we get closer, of course, but
that's
we're back
cool.
After 8 years off the air. We're coming back with Joe Schmo, so looking forward to it.
Very well, then. The Falcon has spoken. The
Falcon has spoken, indeed. Let's talk about other showbiz news. Merriam-Webster announced the new words in the dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
About 100 or so new words in the dictionary. And we talked about the Oxford Dictionary when they did this. Now there's some new ones in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, which I guess is like the American version, right?
Yes.
Man cave has been added.
Okay.
F-bomb has been added.
Really?
Yeah. Earworm, mashup, energy drink. F-bomb, by the way, first used ever in 1988.
How about that?
So...
I just heard everyone else turn their radios, and Bean could up. Not be more fascinating.
Well, he loves words.
How about that?
It's just interesting that somebody just created a euphemism from, you know, from ground zero, never been said before, and now it's in the dictionary. Now it's part of the language.
I don't find that interesting.
That's pretty cool.
Reminds me of Jimmy Kimmel. Came up with Jack Hole. Remember that?
Jack Hole, right, yeah.
It's part of the lexicon. So, Mayhem Miller, he probably dropped a few F-bombs when the cops showed up on Tuesday morning and found him asleep, allegedly sleeping off a bender. Now, it's not necessarily news in and of itself, but the fact that he was asleep inside a church that he'd broken into and that he was naked sleeping on the couch.
Okay.
That had some sizzle, right?
Sure.
Pastor of the Mission Hills Church in Mission Viejo called the authorities on the evidence of a break-in Monday morning. They found books, CDs strewn about, white powder on the doors and floors, and missing boards from a previously broken window that they thought the person had gotten into. When the sheriff showed up, they found that person. It was Jason Mayhem Miller, mixed martial artist and reality show host himself.
Naked.
He was naked. Naked on the couch. Turns out the white powder he had taken a fire extinguisher and just doused the room, and the white powder had settled all over the
place. Maybe he thought it was on fire.
Maybe he did.
He's doing his best.
Jesus, put me out! Tom Cruise, God, put me out! Talladega Nights. So, no word yet on exactly what happened. I'm sure we'll hear more details, but he's being held currently for $20,000 bail, scheduled to appear in court Wednesday. Was that today?
Tomorrow. If he doesn't tour with Randy Travis, I don't know America.
Those two guys, they like to be naked. Well, we're talking about naked. Katy Perry was at Raging Waters in San Dimas.
Naked?
Almost.
Partially.
She was on a boogie board going down a wave pool, having the time of her life, when apparently a wave caught her bikini bottom and pulled it down off her ass.
There is a Jesus?
There is a Jesus. And he pulled her pants down. Jesus is a prankster. She came up out of the water with her ass hanging out. And paparazzi happened to be there shooting pictures. So now we get to see Katie's butt.
You can
see
I have a boner.
See it on the internet. It's a nice butt, too.
It is a pretty good butt.
It's a nice, white, just good-sized, meaty butt.
It's quality.
Unfortunately, one of the guys who works there at Raging Waters tried to be all chivalrous and took the boogie board and put it in front of her butt so she could pull her bikini bottom up before we could get a really good look at anything else that might be lingering down there.
What's he doing?
He's ruining it for everyone is what he's doing.
That's cause for deportation or something.
He absolutely should be called out on the carpet. If you know that guy, get in touch with us. We won't have a
what
word
a
with
dick.
Him.
Dick.
Really. Buzzkill.
Right, Lisa?
Totally. Some decent pictures, though.
Yeah, there are some decent pictures.
Yeah, that's hot.
And it is a nice butt.
Naked.
Are you a Blur fan?
Sure.
They performed in London's Hyde Park Sunday night, and it may have been the band's final show ever.
I feel sad.
Yeah, the end of Blur. But you can download the whole thing right now, or you can wait till next week to get a 3-CD set called Park Live that will feature the performance. In November, Blur is going to release a 5-disc edition of the event, including a DVD, so you can get it all. But it looks like it may be Blur's swan song.
Naked?
No, they're not naked. And Guns N' Roses, the band, has announced a 12-show sit-down at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. Axl Rose and his current lineup of the group.
Which includes nobody else from Guns N' Roses.
You've ever heard of. Kicking off a show they called Appetite for Democracy. See what they did there?
Sure enough.
Took the old and the new. It's going to be at the Joint starting on Halloween, and we'll wrap up November the 24th. Tickets go on sale Friday if you want to check that out.
Can you bet in Las Vegas on how many of those 12 nights are going to happen?
I would think there should be some action at the Hard Rock Sportsbook.
Yeah.
If they have one. I don't even know if they have one. And Lindsay Lohan! She's rich again. She was broke, but now she's rich.
All right.
She has increased her net worth to several high-paying gigs that she's had over the past year. She got $1 million check from Playboy for posing. She got $300,000 for doing that Lifetime movie, Liz and Dick. And she's about to pull in another $200,000 for the next movie in the Scary Movie franchise.
All right.
Throwing some endorsement money for Jag Jeans.
She can afford drinks again.
And a $2,000 to $10,000 fee she gets for tweeting certain companies' advertisements. And she's well on her way to having $2 million in the bank. Imagine wow. that.
Wow.
Didn't think it would happen. But look, they can do a Joe Schmo 3. Anything can
That's
happen,
true.
I guess. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Steve Martin is 67 years old today. Halle Berry turns 46. Catherine Bell is 44. Mila Kunis is 29. And our buddy, our good friend, our very own DJ Omar Khan celebrates his 34th birthday today.
Naked?
He's not naked. Oh, actually, he may be.
Could be.
He could be drunk and naked, knowing DJ Omar Khan. I think he should celebrate his birthday by getting the hell back to work.
That's not how you celebrate your birthday usually.
Oh. Well, he's been off for some time now, and I think it's enough. Because Beer Mug's beard has fleas.
Yeah.
And we can't work with him any longer. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, Anna Kendrick will be on the program talking about Paranorman. We have Taylor Swift is really dumb
yes.
tomorrow.
How dare yes. you? I'm launching a protest
we
right
have
now against that.
Homeless Beer Mug. Beer Mug went out and tried to panhandle, tried to beg for money. And,
fantastic.
We're going to find out. We've got some video for you. I don't know how it went or how much you got, but we'll find out tomorrow morning. And we've also got Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage tomorrow on an all-new.